last time on the Don and Mike Show.
We have famous wrestler Mankind. How do you feel about being naked with Mankind?
That's fine.
And now, Sarah, you have to be in the state that you're going to be in for the contest.
Semi-nude. Very nice. How do you like the Don and Mike Show?
So far, so good.
Good. Bring in Mr. Poifex. He is naked.
And now Mankind's probably going to regret that he came in here.
This isn't as much fun as it was a couple minutes ago.
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
The first son of a beach.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
That's right.
But turn your radio down.
Oh.
Who would you do call? Don't call to play the name game. No calls to rape women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town. And don't call telling jokes.
Oh, for you.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
You can get it. Oh, move to your left. Move to your right. The Don and Mike Show. The best thing you're going to find. The Don and Mike Show. On your radio.
What? Get into it.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi, this is pro wrestler Mankind.
Jack Diamond
is a
horse's ass.
Thank you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Can't think of anywhere I'd rather be. Ladies and gentlemen, indeed, I received, well, it wasn't a phone call, and it wasn't a Valentine's Day message. Rather, a bolt of lightning last night as I went to bed.
A vision.
A vision, and above me, beautiful, with a gigantic pair of wings.
Wow.
Sprouting from between his shoulders. It was, in fact, the angel.
Master Show.
Son of Christ. Bill Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm Rob A. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
What do you say, fans? And he just wanted to say, Happy Valentine's Day.
You know, well, lucky Phil made it at all today.
Why is that?
He had a terrible disaster this morning. His barbecue cart fell clean apart.
Okay.
But he made it. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Kind.
You realize that joke is only funny to three people in the whole world, and those three people are in this studio right now.
Wendell may have enjoyed it, too.
That's but hold on, make it five, because Bart was in the car also.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but at least five people liked it. Mr. and Mrs. Kind and all the ships at sea, broadcasting to over 6 million listeners every day. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening.
Yes, you heard right.
6 million listeners. It's a nationally syndicated show.
Yeah.
Via Westwood One.
Yeah, see, no laughter. Real company.
I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm sorry. I'm still collecting myself.
About 30 seconds before we went on the air today, I don't know if this is a sign from God or what, but the speakers fell apart in the studio and nearly decapitated Mike. I'm not kidding.
Second time I've dodged a bullet on that. It fell. It's the speaker cover. It's relatively lightweight, but from a high level, it fell. It's the second time it's happened, and then God encouraged me to do what he knew I wanted to do anyway. I appreciate that.
Break it.
I broke it a million pieces.
Break it real good.
That's right.
Because remember, here at CBS, quality is job number 4,582.
That's right.
Our telephone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. 877-365-3636. 877-365-3636. That's your hotline to the hit.
Welcome to my world.
And Mike, I didn't have a chance to tell you, but when that piece of speaker fell on your head,
yes, won't you come on in?
It was almost like a cartoon because I saw little Tweety birds around your head. And all kinds of X's.
Yeah.
And those, like, the expletive marks.
And if it had landed a little closer, I think, to my noggin, you might have seen the X over my eyes.
Step into my heart.
As I slept with the fishes.
Well, that means we pull out the tribute show.
Yes, absolutely. The one that we both have on tape.
Just in case either one of us dies in any moment.
Well, that's right. But no matter what, living or dead, I will always remind you that it's built with you in mind.
Built with you in mind. Built with you in mind.
Yes, actually, we have four tribute shows ready.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, always ready at a moment's notice. Here in the studio with us is the Buzz tribute show.
Yes.
Then in the next room, you have both my Don and him, Mike, our tribute shows ready.
Right. Correct.
And then in the back, we have the Rob Spiewak tribute show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if Charlie Broyhill dies, guess what? We move on.
It's another day at the office.
Ain't no tribute for him, man.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
I'm just calling from Tacoma Park, Maryland, to let you guys know that yesterday's show was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And to all those naysayers out there, they have no idea what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, and if you really want, I don't know if you've gone to 1067wjfk.com. Apparently, there was a problem with the camera when Lisa was in here taking the pictures. Only four of the pictures are up on the website right now. We're going to get the rest up during the show today.
Good. Very good.
But I found it to be excellent ammunition when I went home last night.
I'm sure.
Well, because, you know, it's Valentine's Day.
Sure.
And I walked through the door, and, you know, right away, Frida said, well, how was your Valentine's Day?
Yeah, referring to the naked women that we had in the studio.
And I said, well, let's just let's go to the website and see if the pictures are up. And God bless them. A couple of the real lovelies were up there.
Well, there you go. That's good. Adding a little balance.
Including one of them who was topless.
Ah, magnificent.
I said, take a look at that, honey.
I have yet to see the website, but like I said, to all the naysayers out there, they really ought to just shut their mouths and listen and enjoy the show because you guys are on top of it, I tell you.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Enjoy.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We're going to get a nice start to the show.
Sure,
we are going to get an update, incidentally, on the date. I know the girl is here already.
Oh, good.
And we're just waiting on Mr. Perfect to show up. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Donnie Miguel.
Yes, hola.
Hold on, let me pull my car over to the side of the road so I can bow to you.
What's that?
Wonderful show, Don.
You're operating a motor vehicle, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I hope it becomes a Valentine's Day tradition.
Yeah, well, what can I say? That blind date show sure did work out good.
That is one that could hold up. That's one that could be a tradition, absolutely.
And maybe you can squeeze one in on Father's Day and Mother's Day.
All right, fine, get out of here. I never get that Monday is President's Day, so maybe we'll do it then, too.
Hallelujah!
Hey, listen, we have an update for you on the situation in Greenville, South Carolina, where we were heard until recently. And, Buzz, you will really be interested in this update.
Oh, good.
You and I especially will be interested in the update.
Hmm.
I'll tell you this.
Oh, no.
It don't look good.
I think he knows already who you're talking about.
It don't look good.
Oh, no.
In the Greenville market, where we were dumped a couple of weeks ago, and incidentally, our listeners, we went back and checked the ratings.
Uh-huh.
The last ratings period.
Right.
Among men, 18 to 49, we had a 21.2 share.
Oh, my God. Isn't that incredible?
So it's not like we didn't have any ratings,
true.
Okay?
Yep. True.
In the Greenville market, which is about 600,000 people, not the biggest market in America.
Shame radio's not like TV.
There are 10 radio stations in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are owned by Cox Broadcasting.
Okay.
That's the company that just canned us and is going to change the format on the station that we used to be on.
Right.
One is owned by a mom-and-pop operation. It's a daytime AM station. We don't want to be on that.
Rubbing on.
Seven stations, all of them FM, are owned by Clear Channel Broadcasting.
Hmm.
The program director of all seven stations is Buddy Scott.
I'll be honest with you.
And the message I got from Westwood One today was, Buddy Scott sends his regards.
Ah, very nice.
Which means even though our listeners can pull a 20 share,
he doesn't. want you on in Greenville.
He ain't going to let it happen. He's who was the PD at B96 in Chicago.
Yeah.
Finally made me quit that job and come here, and eventually drove Buzz out.
Right.
Yep. The guy is just, I mean, I know we've talked about a lot of dickweed program directors, and Mike and I were talking in the office. He's in the top five all-time worst program directors ever.
Yeah, I've said bad things about the guy, and I never met him because you guys talk about him so much.
Man. His big thing was the meeting at 10 o'clock every morning.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who, this is the greatest Buddy Scott story. he didn't care what we did on the show as long as we played 10 records an hour. That was his main concern. However, he was too big and fat and lazy to get up and listen. So he would pay his kid to tape the show. Then when Buddy would leave his house in suburban Chicago, he'd leave about 9 a.m. so he wouldn't hit traffic. He would listen to the tape on the way into work. He didn't care what we said in between the records or during the news.
Right.
He would just fast forward to count the number of records that were played every hour.
That's all he cared about.
Right. That's all he cared about. And every day at 10 o'clock in the morning, we had a meeting where he would say, you didn't play this many records. And the other big thing was that, because Buzz and I and Karen, who was the other news lady,
right,
because we were friends, that was threatening to Buddy.
He didn't like that.
It's like a clique. You're excluding everybody else at the radio station.
Yeah, I mean, we're the three people that got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, came to work together. We would go to lunch together.
We were a team. We worked together.
You know, it was just like us. We were pals.
You're excluding everybody else from the radio station.
Yeah, that really bothered Buddy. And, and we've talked about Buddy Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's the reason that we're not going to be back on in Greenville, because...
Well, there is hope, though. Isn't there a ray of sunshine, they said, that if...
Well, I'm supposed to call him.
I'm going to call him on the show.
Oh, tell him I said hi.
And you don't like... You hate him the most, don't you?
Three months after, I went to him, and of course, you know, this was naive on my part, but I said, I'm thinking about buying a house. Should I go ahead and do that? He said, sure. Within 3 months, he fired me. Thank you so much.
Beautiful guy.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful guy he is, Buddy Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. Guy's the biggest a-hole. Yeah, you know what we should do? We should try to find out which radio station he's at.
Give him a call.
Just give him a call on the air. Say, hey, buddy, what's the deal?
Let bygones be bygones. Let's bury the hatchet.
You don't own, but you run 7 stations in Greenville.
Hey, we were discussing in the office. It sounds like this guy's the king of Greenville.
Yeah, and incidentally, nice career path, buddy. Let me see if I can follow it. Chicago, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Louisville, Greenville. It seems to me that career is going the wrong way.
Yeah, well, he's the king of one of those small markets.
Yeah. He's the king of Greenville. So anyway, he's the obstacle. And I mean, he is a gigantic obstacle when it comes to getting on in Greenville.
Perhaps if you handle him and you know, indicate that you're going to bury the old hatchet.
Well,
you know, I mean, hey, numbers are numbers. I mean, even to a guy like that, I would think.
Buddy holds a grudge.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I mean.
And you guys seem like, it's still fresh.
Yeah, we hate him pretty bad. I mean, it was like 18 years ago, but we still hate him bad.
Buddy sends it. Well, we hate all program directors, though.
Yeah, but he's a special garden variety. Yeah.
How do you think that conversation would go if we got him on the line?
Well, Buzz, you have to be Buddy. I'll be me.
Okay.
Hey, Buddy, how you doing?
Well, hello, Don. How are you?
Hey, Buddy, I understand that you program 7 stations in Greenville now.
Well, that's right. I'm the area program director.
Congratulations on your spectacular success.
Well, thank you. I'm very proud of it.
Say, have you noticed how well the Don and Mike show has performed in your market?
Well, I've seen that it's done okay in some places, but you're not respecting the music.
Okay, there you go. That's another one. You're not respecting the music.
Oh,
and keep in mind, we were
one of those guys.
We were playing like Madonna and Quiet Riot.
Right.
We were playing the crappiest music on earth, and we were playing the same records every hour and 26 minutes.
Wow.
That's how fast the records turned over.
How do these guys survive?
How do they just
keep on going?
Well, he's hanging on by his fat fingertips if he's all the way down in Greenville now.
Right, exactly.
And that's as far as he's fallen.
He felt we were too interested in David Letterman because Letterman was on late at night and was just a flash in the pan and was never going to be anything and that the public would never embrace Letterman, and we were silly to do that.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, he's the reason we're not on right now in Greenville.
How many stations? 7?
7 FM stations.
All FM stations.
All FM.
Oh, my.
That just sucks.
All right, well, you know what? See if you can find out which... Charlie, see if you find out which station Buddy Scott is at.
Yeah, maybe we'll kiss his ass and see if we can get on.
Well,
you know? Maybe, no, you guys won't do
I'll
that.
Shut up. I'll be quiet.
I was just going to say, we're going to need more than three guys to kiss that ass, because that is a Jabba the Hutt ass. I mean, I am not exaggerating. And for a guy who exclusively drank Tab
and Moon Pies.
He weighed, I guess you're not, at the time we weren't for him, had to be near 400 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, just gigantic.
Maybe he's lost weight since then. He was the only CBS middle management guy who could fly first class because he wouldn't fit in a regular seat.
That's the truth.
That's motivation to keep the weight on.
That's the truth. All right, so that's the deal from Greenville. Maybe if you know someone down there, you can pass that along to them and tell them that's the stumbling block.
Yeah.
Buddy Scott. Jesus Christ. Old program directors never go away, do they?
Did you guys have any idea he was even in Greenville?
No. No idea. I thought he'd fallen off the face of the earth.
I had to kill him watching all his stations get beaten in the afternoon by us.
No, and you know, the guy from Westwood One said, as much as I'd like to bash Westwood One, the guy from Westwood One said, he obviously realizes the fact that we got numbers down there.
Sure.
You know, just to want to be associated. Just a good way to make sure we're not in the market.
Wow.
You know, yeah, and it does get that petty, and it does get that personal in the radio business.
Incredible, yeah. It's not like the TV business where ratings are everything, where, you know, it doesn't matter. You can boycott a show. It doesn't matter. It's not like TV where if you get a certain number, you can do anything.
The guy from Westwood once said to me, I said, well, how could that possibly be? He said, well, I'm sure he could go to his company, to Clear Channel, and say, look, that's a 21 share that I'm keeping out of the market.
Yeah.
That's a 21 share that's now going to have to listen to the crappy records that I'm playing, because if I have the power to keep them out of the market, that means that 21 share of listeners will have to listen to our crappy Metallica, Def Leppard records, or whatever the hell he's doing.
You know, statistically, you can justify any decision.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a classic example of it, mm-hmm. even though it really doesn't make sense.
Well, right. It's payback. You know, listen, what goes around comes around, and Buddy, all I got to say is, you know what's next for you, my friend? Heart attack. Heart attack. But I'll wait with the venom until we get him on the air, see if he'll come on the air and discuss why we're not the proper fit for one of his 7 FM stations.
7 stations.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. You know, when we worked for him at WBBM in Chicago, the guy could barely program one station mm-hmm. that played 15 current records.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how the guy could possibly be in charge of 7 radio stations.
7 radio stations in one town.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
So that's the update there.
Oh, God.
Last night, when I got home after I showed the pictures of the girls on the web to Frida, we spent our Valentine's Eve by watching part of the Barbra Streisand concert.
Midnight!
And it was a very romantic moment, because at about the same moment, we both almost threw up. When we realized, as we were watching her do this show, her last ever show,
right,
that really, she was doing the show for James Brolin, who has become her Frank Gifford.
Mm-hmm.
What she did is, she put him in the front row, and the camera was on him as much as it was on her.
Oh, God, what a horrible position for a guy to be in.
And when she would sing one of her dumb love songs, like that one that's from the Kris Kristofferson movie.
Right.
Evergreen.
Just Evergreen.
Right. As she's doing it, she's just looking directly at him. And at one point, she almost does the thing like De Niro does in Meet the Parents, you know, I'll be watching you. She actually points at her eyes and points at his eyes.
I'm watching you. I'm watching you, Pussy Whitman. I'm watching you. Watch you.
I'll be watching you. And we just felt bad for James Brolin.
Yeah.
It's like, geez, emaciated. I'm surprised that she just didn't have his penis and scrotum in a jar around her neck as she was up on stage singing. And all of the songs, and every time they went to him, he had to. I'll give you this. Better than Marcus Welby and better than his Amoco commercials.
Doing a better acting job?
The acting performance of his life.
Sure.
Because
any tears?
At one point, yes.
Wow.
Yes, and I don't doubt that it was Visine induced, or maybe he had a piece of onion or some soap or something.
He had like that soap that Danny DeVito had, you know, in Ruthless People.
But it just made you feel so bad for the guy. He's sitting there like a eunuch, you know, and she's up there, you know, people who need people. And he's just sitting there like,
hello, gorgeous.
You know, what happened to my genitals? I'm sitting here in the front row of the Barbra Streisand concert.
Yeah.
And the thing that pissed us off the most was, Temptation Island wasn't on last night, so they could have 2 hours of that bitch.
2 hours of Barbara Streisand for Valentine's Day.
Yuck!
And now she's off. She'll never do another concert.
Don't believe that.
Right, don't believe that. She'll be back, thank
Jesus Christ, what a mess that was.
But the biggest train wreck I heard about was, I know a guy who works in Oklahoma who called me today, and Buzz, you can tell me if this has come over the wire or not.
Okay.
He swears this is true. Now, I know they're going to kill Timothy McVeigh very soon.
Yes.
They're going to execute the guy, the Oklahoma City bomber.
Yeah, he wants to be executed.
Yes, he wants to be executed, and he wants it to be on television.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the families of all of the people that were in the Oklahoma City bombing, there's so many of them, you know, bordering on thousands of people, because he killed so many people, the sick son of a bitch, they can't get them all into the room to watch this guy get the needle.
Yeah.
So they're thinking about doing it on closed circuit TV so the families can watch. Timothy McVeigh reportedly wants to be killed on national TV during halftime of an XFL game.
How weird is that?
How weird is
that? Have you heard that, Buzz? Has that crossed the wire?
I hadn't heard about the XFL game, no. And, you know, I'd be surprised if that happened. I don't think it will.
Yeah, no,
but,
I don't think it'll happen either.
That's his request, right?
But that is exactly what Timothy McVeigh...
Amazing. So he's logged a little time with the XFL.
Yeah, he's a fake guy. And no better endorsement for the fledgling football league than the fact that a mass murderer would like to be executed during their halftime
show. Maybe get Jesse Ventura to do a little of the play-by-play.
The way I hear it, both executioners start on the 30 and run to the needle. And then they get the person that gets it first gets to kill him.
You know, even if they had that on TV, I would imagine that that form of execution really would be like watching somebody be put to sleep.
Put to sleep, right.
Yeah. Really going on there.
You're going to put it on TV. You got to chop the guy's head off.
Make an electric chair.
Or electric chair. Or shoot
electric
him.
Chair would be what I'd root for, you know.
I'd go for the guillotine.
You know, the guillotine, you can't, I mean, if it was even reality, you know. But, I mean, the electric chair, isn't that still going in some states?
I think, yeah, some states still
Texas,
have it.
Oh, in Texas, yeah. Hell, right. Ask George Bush about it.
Old Sparky. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
You know, of course, if I had any form of execution, then probably the guillotine. Maybe drawn and quartered.
That would be nice.
I think a couple states still hang.
Really?
Hanging would be good.
Hey, you know,
hanging
that would be good. Cool. You'd be able to watch, like, his hands and his feet twitch and stuff like that.
Boy, I tell you, the old-fashioned, old Sparky electric chair.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for that guy.
Right.
Would you be able to fit that into, like, how long's the halftime of a football game? Like, 12 minutes?
Easily.
Could you kill him in 12 minutes?
Easily. Yeah, absolutely. Any of the forms of execution. Yeah, you got the guillotine, which is quick.
Well, I see, but that would be all build up.
Yeah,
right. That would be like 10 minutes of build up because that's
maybe you could get a spot on the show and you could bring out the piece of cabbage that they test the guillotine on, you know, just to show it working,
like the Incredible Blackstone does.
Yes, exactly. Put the cabbage down there. Look how sharp that blade is.
That will put Timothy McVeigh's head in.
Right,
and we'll be right back with the second half kickoff of the Las Vegas Outlaws. The Chicago Enforcers.
It's weird. It's really, you know, it's weird. It's almost like he's got too much breath saying what he wants to be done. You know, just put him out, take him out, get it done, forget it. Bad guy gone from this earth.
And then this friend of mine in Oklahoma said, would you watch it if they put it on the internet? And, you know, I'm sad to say, I said, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a bad guy. He deserves it. I'd watch it.
I'd watch it out of curiosity, yeah.
Sure.
Morbid curiosity.
Absolutely I would. Would I pay for it? If the money went to the families of the people that he killed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting point.
I might pay $10 to watch him killed.
Not a bad idea to raise some money for those families.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if the douchebag really wants to make a public spectacle out of it,
right.
out of his, you know, departure from this earth... Well, do something with it then. I mean, make it a show and give the money to the families.
You know, I think if they ever did televise an execution, it would be lethal injection because that would probably be the least amount of controversy. I've heard people say it's disturbing, though, even when you realize that you're watching a guy get killed, even if it's not a violent way of getting killed, it's still a guy getting killed. And I think he, you know, twitches a little bit.
Well, that would be good for the ratings.
Yeah, you know, the more twitching, the better.
Twitching is good.
It was a twitch.
Hello, Don and Mike. Show.
Don, Mike.
Yes, hi there.
Buzz.
Hey.
Hey, I had a funny story for you guys this morning. I was listening to the radio, and it just shows how desensitized I've become by watching you guys or listening to you guys. This guy said, my name is such and such from such and such, and I have a very special message for you. And for just a moment, I was a little disoriented when I didn't hear a fart come out of the radio, and he went on talking, and just thought it was funny that.
All right. Great story. Thank you.
She's terrific.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes. Just wanted to let you guys know that the great state of Kansas that Buzz is from, we now have the death penalty, and the preferred way is hanging.
Hanging in Wichita.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how about that?
Man, that is, gosh, that is amazing. That's like the Wild Wild West.
I smell pay-per-view on that. I really do.
I guess, thank God, we're still behind the times.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that would be a gigantic hit on pay-per-view.
Hanging.
To watch a bad guy hang on pay-per-view, Jesus.
That's really probably the scariest way to go, I would think.
And I don't think it's all that instantaneous.
No, it isn't.
If
your neck doesn't get broken.
That's the motto in Kansas, teach evolution or we'll hang you.
Well, there's supposed to be an art to it. I read a book one time that said there's an art to making the noose the right way so that, and the fall, and the way.
Placing it.
So, when you place it so it does break your neck and death is pretty much instantaneous.
In the Old West, they would actually tip the hangman to where he'd put the noose so you would die quickly.
Right.
And it was like a courtesy, and if you didn't, you'd...
Yeah, exactly. The people like family members, right?
How do you know that, Rob? What class did I miss in high school where they teach that they would tip the hangman?
It's probably in a book, right?
Actually, I think I learned that on the Carson program.
Really?
Remember they did a fake hanging of Johnny once? Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Well, they did.
Wow.
And they
wow.
That. Yeah. So I get a lot of my information from the Tonight Show.
But it's great that you read tip the hangman.
Yeah.
Would the family tip him, or would the guy himself like have a five
the
spot?
The victim, I think, would.
Would have, like,
I'm sure if there was a family, they'd kick in, but it would mostly be the guy that would be
amazing.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
We got to play some music. We have to play a little Alice Cooper while he's being hung.
Oh, you mean...
while he's being hung on during halftime, you got to have music. A little Alice Cooper probably would fit best.
Well, you know, you could go with some Marilyn Manson.
Oh, sure.
Well, you could...
The beautiful...
But that... Don't you
people...
Marilyn Manson be a little over the top? Don't you think Marilyn Manson be just a little too much noise?
How about some Floyd, man?
Some Floyd would be, you know, yeah, absolutely. You know, Dark Side of the Moon?
Some Floyd.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, create the mood. Yeah.
Do you have a dollar bill handy by any chance?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact. I'm sorry, but I really don't. Buzz has a dollar bill.
Yes.
Okay, but we could have Buzz do it. Buzz, do you have a dollar?
I do.
Okay, can everybody see you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, could you take the dollar bill and stick it between your chin and your chest?
Okay. Done.
Does everybody see it?
Yeah.
Okay, what does that look like to you?
Buzz has a dollar bill between his chin and his chest.
When a guy has a good joke, when a guy has a good joke, you gotta give him his props.
Don't delete that out. Did they delete that out?
I'll check.
I'm sure they did. Let me know if they did or not. That made us laugh. Mm,
kind of sounds like they did.
They did.
Yeah. Well, you know, you could do the same thing with Christopher Reeve in a strip joint.
Yeah, in a teat bar.
Oh my God!
Hey, they got us.
Wow,
that's a good one. What does that say about us? That's the second Christopher Reeve joke that has made us absolutely fall on the floor.
A gentleman should know that that joke will be told all weekend in my neck of the woods.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Stand in line, Mike.
Absolutely.
Hello.
You know, Mike.
Doesn't it, seriously? And that's what a good joke will do. I mean, when it's a good one. Now, I don't want, and believe me, no more jokes. But a good one will really, it can make a weekend.
Good visual joke.
Absolutely.
Hello, you're on the air.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Just going to let you know, there's a couple of states out west, I think Wyoming is one of them, they actually still have firing squad as a method of execution.
Also true.
Wow. That would be good with me. That would be fine with me for Timothy McVeigh.
Astonishing. You think we're civilized, and then you realize we've still got firing squad.
But as a matter of fact, here's what I say. Put me in charge of the production. Because you know what I do first? I shoot his knees.
Mm-hmm.
They shoot his arms.
Right.
They maybe, like, shoot him in the shoulder blade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just shoot him a whole bunch of times just so he's not killed.
Right.
And then right at the very end, right between the eyeballs.
And, you know, that wouldn't dramatize the horror of the death penalty very well for the opponents either, if you did it that way, you know, as he's going, oh! You know, you're up there going, laughing like Tom Gavin.
It's one of the reasons they're not on television.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, there's a country in Africa. I think it's Madagascar. They still crucify people.
This is fascinating. Mm-hmm. Are we fascinated with death in this country or what?
Sure. Yeah, hello.
The crucifixion. That's incredible.
Well, you know what? That's a long-term one there.
That's like the most horrible way of dying ever.
But that's an insult to Jesus Christ, a.k.a. Phil Hochberg, though.
Yeah?
I mean, I wouldn't want Timothy McVeigh on a cross, though.
Yeah, the symbolism would not be appropriate.
That's not right. No, I wouldn't mind driving some nails through his hands, some nails through his feet, though, and just dragging him like they did Jesus, just drag him for miles and miles.
What, you could drag him, like, by a horse-drawn carriage or something like that?
Or by a car.
Yeah.
You know, a Land Rover. You know, something nice upscale vehicle.
We'll be right back. Tonight on Fox.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
I had an idea.
Yes.
I think they ought to sell chances to get a hunting license on the guy. You know, maybe have open season, let him loose out in the country somewhere and...
Maybe no, you know what? You get the element of chance there.
Camera.
It's like you make him the fugitive then. No, absolutely not. I would not be opposed to the idea of a lottery to let some guy
pull the switch.
Win the chance, yeah, to give the injection, pull the switch.
You know what I would say, though, and you'll say nobody would feel sympathy for him, but if you did it that slow way and you televised it, there would be a significant amount of the audience that you would create sympathy for him. That's right. By killing him that slowly, by torturing him. If you killed him in such a way that it was over...
No. Okay, here's... Let me just play devil's advocate.
Go right ahead, please.
It's like a pitch meeting?
Yes.
Here's what you do. Well, right before you do this... And I know that this would be hurtful and painful to the people who suffered, but you show the building. You show the destruction.
Right.
You show all of the concrete slabs outside that building in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. You show the grieving people. You run like 15 minutes of footage of what this animal did.
Interesting.
And then America's ready for it.
You work everybody up into a frenzy with the crime.
Yes, because he's an awful, heinous guy.
Still think you have to do it quick, though. Still think you have to do it. The hanging, you know, the firing squad, electric chair. But, you know, I know you'd love to hit them in the kneecaps, but it's just... You're turning me into a sympathetic figure when that happens.
Or how about you do the misery thing on him?
Oh. You hobble him?
You know, like Kathy Bates did to James Caan?
Where you put his leg in a vise and then hit it with a sledgehammer and break his ankles?
Yeah. Hobble him.
Hobble? Sympathy.
Hobble de gobble. I don't think so. And Mike, to battle that,
yes.
Maybe you run a split screen.
Mm-hmm.
Where at the same time as you're doing this, on the other side of the screen, you show the building being blown up. You show the remains of the building.
It'll be interesting to see. I might have to test it viewers first.
Yeah. You have the constant
focus group.
Dual reminder. Although I don't think there would be that much sympathy for such a bad guy.
Mm.
A guy who killed so many people.
Yeah, you're probably right. Certainly wouldn't be sympathy on the part of the families, I wouldn't think.
Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
You know how you're always, when you're not advocating suicide, but whenever somebody does, that you guys should have your moniker attached to it somehow, right?
Well, yeah,
you guys should sponsor the show.
No, listen, you're giving out mixed messages. First, we don't advocate suicide.
Jesus Christ.
It's my belief that that's the easiest way to F yourself with God is to kill yourself. And that I mean seriously. But then on a lighter note, if you are going to kill yourself, yes, in some way, with your last dying breath, you know, take a bit of your blood and write on the wall, Don and Mike rule.
Yeah, any exposure is good exposure.
Yes, but please understand.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Understand that we're against suicide. We really are. We really are.
We're against death, basically.
Except for very bad people.
And evil people, yes.
And program directors.
I'm on the fence. I used to be very pro-death penalty, and now I don't know. I've read so many things about it.
But not me.
I know. You've always been a big proponent.
You get some sick bastard who did something awful?
I know.
Kill him.
See, a part of me says let the guy live with what he's done. He wants to die because he's so tortured, maybe, that he just wants to get it over with. And I think it's almost too good for him.
No. Kill him. Hello, Don and Mike.
Kill him.
Hello.
Kill him. You almost sounded like Jack Palance.
Kill him.
Kill him.
Kill him.
Jack, you're my number one guy.
Hello there.
Is Buzz there?
Yes, he is.
Hi, Buzz.
Hello.
Buzz, which word do you think is cooler, clitoris or cunnilingus?
Oh, I like them both.
Okay, great.
You just got a textbook Buzz Burbank answer.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'd hate to choose a favorite between those two.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I think the crowd's with you on that one. I think so.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hello.
I'm sorry, I said you're on the air twice. Hello, Don and Mike Show, you're on the air.
Don and Mike.
Right.
Enjoy the show. I don't think he should be executed on TV. I hate to see him become a martyr to the other nuts out there.
Well, you know, you run the risk of him becoming a martyr if you just kill him anyway.
Well, that's true, but I just hate to have the
God, isn't that amazing?
Visual.
It's amazing when you do think that there is that segment of people out there, the people that, because it was some sort of, you know, paramilitary anti-government movement that this guy sprung out of. There's probably some group out there that would think of him as that, and that's the sickest thing I've ever
heard.
Well,
then you round them up and you kill them, too.
There you go.
Get yourself a nice big group show going.
You can start that when you run for Congress under the moniker of Judge Roy Bean.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hi, am I on?
Yeah.
Okay, I got a country where they've got two ways of executing people. The first way is if you're found that you're gay, what they do is they lay you out on the road, they put a big brick wall on you, and they have a steamroller go right across you.
Oh, now what country is it that does this to gay people?
Afghanistan. And here's the other country.
Wait, hold on.
That doesn't make sense.
I think you would have heard about that. I know Afghanistan has a religious government that persecutes its citizens.
Isn't that like the country where if you shoplift, they cut off your arm or something like that?
That might be...
They cut off your hand for shoplifting. Mm-hmm. But for as far as females are concerned, if you're caught committing adultery, what they do is they put you in a pit where men are going to surround you, and they throw rocks at you and kill you that way.
Stoning.
Yeah, stoning.
But what about this gay thing? That's the one that I don't think I've heard of before. What is that again?
Yeah, what they do is they lay you down on the road. They put a big brick wall on you or some type of hard surface, and they have a steamroller just go right over you.
Why does this stuff sound credible? Doesn't sound credible.
The other two, although, you know...
I think I've actually heard of the adultery thing where they do kill people for adultery. Yeah.
And I've heard of countries cutting off people's hands for shoplifting.
They also, I think, in Afghanistan are, you know, men kill their wives and are not prosecuted because they... And they can do it for a variety of things under the, you know, religious things.
I hear Rob on the phone right now. Hello, I'd like two tickets to Afghanistan. Mr. and Mrs. Spiewak.
Oh, God.
Jesus, O.J. should run for president of Afghanistan.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And it doesn't go reported very often about the kind of stuff that's going on now, the fundamentalists.
Unbelievably cruel.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Am I on?
Oh, come on. If one more guy says, am I on? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes.
Hey, how about having your execution sponsored by, like, a corporate sponsor, like Orkin Exterminators or Ginsu Knives or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's ways to make money in this, absolutely. But, you know, as long as all the money goes to the families.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
Or you could maybe do a gladiator thing. Like have him in there with some animals.
Yes.
You know, just after fresh off of seeing Hannibal, you know, have him do battle with tigers.
That's right, and have it hosted by Larry Michael.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Here they go.
Good afternoon.
Here comes the convicted. And before the execution, I want to say hi to my wife, Darlene, we got a great show on tap this evening. I think you'll enjoy it. I do.
Hello. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
In Africa, I believe it's the Zulu have a most fascinating way of executing people that have done terribly bad things. They'd bind them in a kneeling position in the middle of the town, throw a tire around their neck, douse it with gasoline, and ignite it.
Yeah, I've actually seen photographs of that. It's horrible.
All right, thank you. Hello.
You don't have to be a real bad guy. There's a lot of vigilante justice where they do that to people.
Yeah. Last call. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah.
Right.
It sounds like Mr. Forte.
Right.
Hey, look, this is what you do. Got two options.
What, Forte?
So you got two options.
For the execution? Right,
yeah,
go.
Yeah, first you could do, see, the way we used to do when you were kids, but see, if you use adults, it'll probably kill them. Just play butt on the pole, see? And you just got to hold on to a light pole, and you just kick them in his ass until they die.
Okay, all right, give me your second shot.
That's fascinating.
In the other one, I'll just throw 40 bottles at him until he just died.
Throw 40 bottles at him.
Keep hitting him in his head.
Bottling. You will have 40 bottles thrown at you until dead.
Because that'll take like 30 minutes. That's a good televised product.
Does the condemned man have anything to say?
He's sponsored by Code 45.
It's always about the 40s.
All right, goodbye, Mr. 40. Right, we got a break. Right.
Yeah,
he He'd be a good color commentator.
Sure.
For that. Right, right.
Right, look at that. I think he'd create a calm atmosphere.
Right, right. Listen, let's clear the lines. Oh, the couple is here. Mr. Perfect is here, along with Laura, the girl who won the dream date last night.
Very good.
Excellent. So we'll find out everything that happened on their date in a moment. Now, call number 100 gets a shot at winning $500 with Secret Sound number 6. Phone number 877-365-3636. Good luck.
Number 1, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
14 Washington area couples celebrated Valentine's Day the old-fashioned way this morning. They got married. How romantic. But it was not your basic run-of-the-mill wedding ceremony. No, ma'am. This was a wedding to remember.
A solemn ceremony, sort of.
And it's the video revolution. We're being videotaped from every conceivable angle right now.
How long is this limo? How long is this limo?
Like
68 feet of limo. Unbelievable.
Excuse me. Why are you marrying him?
And the couples gathered for only the most solemn of reasons.
We're thinking about going to Las Vegas and do it. But we figured that this would be even tackier than that. So we went with that.
Nervous family members assembled under a wedding tent and shared in the emotional moment of the occasion.
She's 8 months pregnant. She's due next month.
She's I have it here.
First time in my life I ever rode in a limousine. But he paid for it and made us feel good. But I thought, gee whiz, the first time, and he's bringing me to a parking lot.
The wedding vows were slated to begin at 7 a.m. in the parking lot of the WAVA radio station studios on Lee Highway in Arlington. The families were there more or less on time.
Right now, he's about 25 minutes late. He's supposed to be here by 7.
I already backed into their car this morning. No, I'm not nervous.
Everyone remained cool, calm, and collected.
He's going to walk down the aisle and break my neck and bust my legs.
Lord,
the Reverend.
This is like a Super Bowl where they introduce him. What is your name, sir?
Andrew Blanco.
Andrew.
Go.
All right.
Your name's
Mark 14.
Thank you, Mark.
Go.
Marriage is a joyous occasion, and it brings to mind all those thoughts of home, loved ones, friendship, good times, happiness, longevity. I take the man's name to my wedded husband.
The ceremony was broadcast live on Don and Mike's Morning Drive radio show. And after all 28 vows have been said, Don and Mike showed their appreciation to the Valentine couples by dunking themselves in a vat of Hershey's chocolate.
I'm in here!
The newlyweds celebrated with a first-class, grade-A, top-drawer reception right next door at Roy Rogers.
Hey,
That's why we're the snooze at four.
Stay tuned now as the news continues with J.C. Hayward and Bob Altage. We'll see you tomorrow. Happy Valentine's Day.
Providing the soundtrack to your thunderous orgasm, the Don and Mike Show.
How long is that? Like 12 or 13 years ago we did that?
Yeah, it's back before we became too dirty for local news.
I pulled that tape out. I think that was, in fact, 13 years ago that we did a mass wedding in the parking lot. I'm going to get to something in the Sacramento paper about us in a second. But the lead story in the radio column in the Sacramento Bee today is the fact that KGO in San Francisco married 50 couples at the same time.
Only 13 years after we did it.
Right. Right, right.
Right, right, right.
Right, right, right. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Don't, did I do something wrong? Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, Don.
There you go. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Daryl.
Hi, Daryl. Where are you from?
Sacramento.
Daryl, you are caller number 100.
Excellent.
You won the CD soundtrack and video copy of Dr. T and the Women.
Cool.
The romantic comedy with Richard Gere and Helen Hunt. Available to rent or video purchase DVD. Get yours in time for Valentine's Day. Say, that's outdated copy.
Hey, that's not something that we ever get here.
Outdated copy. Oh, Daryl Walter. Okay, right after the contest. We're going to talk to Daryl Walter from Daytona 500 in a moment. Yeah, because we're into the Daytona 500. Listen, but you got the chance to win $500 right now with secret song number 6, a top 10 song from the 1970s, a number one song, as a matter of fact.
All right.
Give us the title and artist. You win $500. We'll give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Christina Aguilera.
Ah, I love it when you mix in today's hits.
Thank you.
And we wish you...
Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
Ah, I don't want to give anything away, but I'll tell you. It's a romantic song. I was singing it last night exactly like that to Frida over and over and over. The money that we're giving away is courtesy of Main Street Heisel.
I'm a genie in a bottle. You better rub me the right way.
Yeah. You folks are not privy to the dancing.
Oh, yeah, well, you got to do it all. You got to commit.
That goes along.
Otherwise, ain't going to sound good.
The choreographed stuff that you do for us.
Thank you very much.
And we thank you for that. For $500. Please. What's the title and artist there?
Well, I don't know how romantic this is, but how about Smoking in the Boys' Room by Brownsville Station?
Now, I happen to think that that is a very romantic song.
Uh-huh.
Could you please repeat that?
Smoking in the Boys' Room by Brownsville Station.
No, gotcha.
Oh, we're sorry.
No,
oh, man. Very high up on the crap playlist, too.
Thank you.
Oh, for you.
Thank you, though. Don't forget that every guest
is a clue for you.
For you. All right, now, just so I don't F this up, the guy is Daryl Waltrip.
Daryl Waltrip's a very successful NASCAR driver.
Okay, and he used to be a driver, and now he's an announcer with Fox.
That is correct.
For the Daytona 500. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Let's welcome for the first time ever to the Don and Mike show, Daryl Waltrip.
Hi, Daryl. How you doing?
Hey, Don and Mike. Is that the Everly Brothers?
No, we're just a couple of DJs been doing it too long.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a race driver that was in the same boat.
So listen, hi. Welcome to the show. Want to tell you first off that I'm like a lot of people. I've only gotten into NASCAR the last couple of years.
Yeah, man.
I have... You know, my favorites, I don't know necessarily the names of the drivers, but I know the cars that I like.
Right. Yeah. Well, you mentioned the cars that you like.
I like the Home Depot car.
That's Tony Stewart.
I like the number 3 car.
That's the Intimidator, Mr. Earnhardt.
I like the Tide car.
Well, now this year that's Ricky Craven, who is from up in your neck of the woods. But
I like the Cornflakes car. I like the M&M's car.
Terry Levani, Kenny Schrader.
He knows them all.
Wow. I'm not a big fan, and I know this, of the Jeff Gordon car. I think I
now
like.
Why do you feel that way?
Because I've been jaded against Jeff Gordon by all the people who call the show.
Yeah, we get lots of calls. First of all, so many people that listen to this show are NASCAR fans, and when we get on the subject, first of all, the phones go nuts when we do, and then we get a lot of people that, and maybe you can shed some light on us, that have a problem with Jeff Gordon. Now, why is that in NASCAR circles? Why does he have that love-hate relationship with the fans?
Well, he doesn't fit the image, for one thing. He's a really, but trust me, someone who knows and has known him since he's been a little kid, and he's not too much bigger than that now, but anyway, he's a nice young man. He does a lot for our sport. He has brought an audience into our sport that we were desperately needing. The 18 and under crowd, they love him. They love his commercials that he does, and he appeals to that demographic, and we didn't have anybody that could do that. So from that perspective, he's helped our sport a lot.
But isn't he just too pretty?
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, what's wrong with Jeff Gordon? Nothing.
He's pretty.
That's right.
That's the problem. What's wrong with him? Nothing.
He's pretty, and he wins all the time, and he has a hot wife, and he's got a million sponsors.
When you were racing...
Yeah, tell me more. I'm loving it. Yeah. I could fall into that job like that.
Now, you, when you were racing, and anybody that saw, you know, a long, long time ago, that movie Days of Thunder, knows that there are certain guys on the NASCAR circuit that just plain don't like each other. Did you, when you were racing, did you have a particular guy that, call it at very best a friendly rivalry, and at very worst a feud?
Well, I didn't, and I still don't like Dale Earnhardt.
and both of you guys were, you know, I mean, at the top of the heap.
Yeah, I didn't, and I've changed a little bit toward Richard Petty.
Oh, now, is Dale Earnhardt, is that the number three car?
That's the black car.
That's the guy I like. Oh, I'm sorry, I like him if you don't like him.
Now, why do you like him?
I like him because he's a cool driver, because he does stuff like bump other guys.
That's probably why Daryl had a problem with him when he was racing.
That's exactly right.
And he
doesn't adhere to the unwritten rules and to the gentleman's agreement.
Yes, and now, listen, I was watching a race last year,
and
they said something about... You guys get together on the radios when you're going to make your pit stops and with drafting and stuff. And what they were saying is that, for whatever reason, this guy in the number three car, he's like not playing with anybody.
Right.
That you gotta make friends and you gotta say, we're all going to pit at the same time.
Right.
We're going to line up this way so as we come around the corner, the drafting is right. And he wouldn't play with anybody.
Well, he's all for you when you're helping him. But he is not. He's all against you when you're not.
It's
not really a good example of team play.
All right, then I'm sorry if I've offended you when I said I like it, but he's got a cool car.
He didn't offend me, but I'm sure you got some listeners out there that probably are offended.
I was watching the Budweiser shootout. You know, Daryl will be calling the Daytona on Fox this weekend.
Yeah, this is a big moment. You know, it's going to be on Fox, and it's going to be very exciting.
There was something, and I know you guys have done this for a long time, so bear with me because I'm a virgin with this, that I was fascinated by. Some guy had oil leaking out of his car.
Yeah.
And they were saying that the guys driving around the track, it was like they were driving in fog.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, now what do they do when they go to the pit stop? And they said that rather than clean the windshields, these guys have like plastic on the windshield, and
right.
they just peel off a layer, and it's like you have a brand new windshield.
Well, that is
exactly.
Cool. I never knew that. Cool.
Has that been around a long time?
The last couple of years. It's a laminate that goes over the windshield, and we have actually three layers of that on the windshield. So because of situations like it, also because of the sandblasting and the pitting that the windshield goes through, in order to get the windshield clean for the driver, there's no way to get that all off. So they came up with this laminate, and about a fourth or a third of the way through the race, you'll jerk one layer off, and then right at the end of the day, you'll have an additional layer. You pull that off, and every time you do that, it's just like having a brand new windshield all over again.
Did I tell you what I did when I was down at Disney World the last time? That I went to that Richard Petty driving experience?
I did over there the other day.
I got into a car because it was the last day, and I was I'd driven by it all week, taking my kids into the park, and I drove by this thing, and I said, I'm just going to go in and see, because you can hear the cars. I mean, there's nothing like hearing NASCARs.
That's right.
And I got in, and you know what they did is for a significant amount of money, Daryl, they let me jump in and ride shotgun and go 150 miles an hour on a racetrack. And I got into I rode shotgun with this guy, and it was truly the most amazing thing.
You're in a real car? It's not a simulation?
In a real NASCAR, and you drive around the track, it's very quick. It's over almost as soon as it gets started. But my question to you would be, the one thing where I really feel the speed is when you're getting up to speed. When you're coming out of pit row and you're getting up to, that's where you really feel the speed. But then when you get out there and you're actually on the track, what is the single most dangerous element, the thing that you have to be careful of when you're out there and, you know, you've obviously got 50 cars around you?
Well, see, everybody thinks they can drive a race car, you included.
Right.
And you can, as long as you're out there by yourself.
Right, exactly.
But what most people don't realize is the amount of, I call anticipation and instinct that you have to be able to maneuver your car in packs of cars like we see here at Daytona. When you're running through the turn and you got a car beside you, on either side of you, and you're in the middle, the amount of focus, concentration, and effort it takes to control that car to keep it from running into the one on the inside or the outside. So it takes a lot of physical stamina, takes a lot of concentration, and it takes a lot of anticipation as to what's going to happen around you, and then the instinct that the drivers have as to when he sees something, he knows what to do without having to think about it.
Hey, the drivers, yourself included, when you drove, what would happen if you had to go number one or number two during a race?
Bad planning.
Bad planning.
Bad planning, first of all, and then second of all, how do you know they don't?
Okay, all right.
There you go.
Okay, good answer. And my final question, do you actually use Goody's headache powders?
Great question.
Because that's the ad I see all the time. It's like, why the hell?
The first time I saw Goody's, it comes a little package and it's a powder is what it is.
Yeah, right.
And it's all rolled up. I thought the guys down there were taking some kind of drug.
That's funny.
I tell you, you asked Richard Petty about Goody's. He's got about They didn't have hardly any stomach left, and he lived on them.
Really? So he'd use them all the time?
Oh, he lived on them.
And it's
Richard Petty being a race, you'd be wearing him out. I mean, you'd think I got him beat today, and they'd come in the pits, they'd give him two goodies, and the next thing you know, he was wearing you out.
That's great.
All right, Daryl.
I asked the guy to get me some goodies one time, and he went and got me some crackers and peanut butter, and who's got a whole box full of goodies.
Who should we look for this weekend? Who's your favorite? Is it the pole sitter, or who do you like this weekend?
Well, I'm not impressed with the two pole sitters after today's races. They both started up front, and they both fell to the very back of their races. I think that you're going to have to watch Jeff Gordon. I know you don't like to hear that, but for those folks that are out there listening, I think Tony Stewart's going to be fine if he can keep himself out of trouble.
Now, is that the Home Depot car?
That's the Home Depot car.
Okay.
And you can't ever count out Dale Jarrett. The Fords have been whining down here for 3 or 4 days that they're at a disadvantage, but you watch them run on Sunday. Mm. And, you know, my long shot's Earnhardt. He's figured out a way to lose this race more than anybody else has, so he's my long shot.
All right, got you. Daryl, pleasure talking to you.
Yeah. All right, man.
Have a great time calling the race.
Well, it'll be great. It'll be fun. Hope everybody tunes in.
You will. You'll get a giant rating on it.
All right, buddy.
Okay,
thanks.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Daryl Waltrip, I forget, we didn't get his statistics. I'm almost positive he's won Daytona. Probably a couple of times.
Yeah, probably
more than like
once.
A record holder or
interesting
something like that.
Interesting guy.
Yeah,
I didn't tell you I'd done that.
No, you did not.
I can't believe I forgot
to tell you that.
What kind of freaking waiver do you have to sign before you get in a car that goes 150 miles an hour?
You wouldn't believe this. I'm playing golf down at Disney World next to this, I think they call it the Richard Petty Driving Experience. And as I'm on this fairway, 2 days in a row, I hear this. So the very last day, I mean, we were hours away from leaving, and I actually drove by, and I said, I got to just see if I can get in there and look and watch. So I go in, and I say to the guy, hey, is there a chance I could? He said, yeah, you got to drive under the racetrack, and then you drive, and they've got a little mini racetrack right down there. I mean, and it's they said it was half the size of the normal, but they actually do have races down there.
Right.
And so there's no one there. I mean, no one there, and the cars were being warmed up, and so they were taking them out there, and I'm there at about 10:30 in the morning. Nobody's there. I said, boy, I tell you, I was hearing this. I just wanted to see it. The guy sitting there said, well, why don't you take one out?
Why don't ye take one out?
I said, well, I don't want to drive this. No, there's drivers over there. They'll take you. You just sit in the passenger side, and they'll take you. And I said, how much does it cost? And it was expensive. Like,
it was like
$90 or something like that to do this. And it's a very brief. But I'm like, it's the last day of vacation, and I popped for it. I sprung for it. And he said,
that's cool. I'd love to try that.
So you go in, you sign a little waiver. You do sign a little disclaimer in case the car hits a wall at 150 miles an hour.
Right.
But the whole thing, they said, would you go 150 miles per hour? Do you want to go 150? I said, yeah, I want to do this. So you get fitted for the helmet. You feel like kind of a mook because it's like, put the helmet on. And then you have to go in and you get into the car. You don't get in by opening a door. You get in crawling in the window.
Like the General Lee.
And you sit down there, and I meet the guy, and the guy's like, well, hello, Mike, how are you? We're going to take this race car out. How's that sound to you? Does that sound good to you? And so I shake the guy's hand, and they were kind of cool guys. Nobody was around, so they were just glad to see a human being. So I sit down there, and then they come over, and I'll bring the picture in because it'll make you laugh. They take a picture of you.
I'd love to see a picture of you in a NASCAR.
And then they take another picture as the car is coming across the finish line, and it kind of gives you a sense of the speed. And then they get in there, and it really was over as soon as it started. But I mean, I'm flying in this thing, and you do have a sense of the speed, but only when you're getting up to speed. Once you're on that track, you don't have the sense of it as much as when you're getting up to the speed. And then, we finish. Well, how did you like that, Mike? Did you have a good time? And then, so I got in my family truckster, my rental car, and just punched it out of the racetrack. And then I'm going, all the Disney families. What's up?
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, buddies. How you doing?
Hi, buddy.
Hey, I used to race with Jeff Gordon when we were kids out in California before he moved back to Indiana. He was a pretty good driver back then, like Daryl was saying. He's known him for a while, and he couldn't race. He wanted to race sprint cars, but you had to be a certain age out in California to race sprint cars.
Hey, listen, hold on. Is this going to be like some flowery biography on your past with Jeff Gordon?
No, serious.
Do you have anything bad to say about him when he was a kid?
No, he was a kid, but I do.
Goodbye. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, you know why all those Knicks don't like Gordon? Is like the last caller said, he was born and raised in California.
Yeah.
He has all his teeth. And he's not inbred.
All right.
That's why everyone hates him.
But, you know, the guy that Daryl Waltrip was talking about, I just saw one of the... It might have been Daytona, where that guy Dale Earnhardt is just God.
Well, haven't
in racing circles.
You seen the infomercial for the clock?
Yeah.
Okay, now this is a dumber product than I thought. I had seen the dumbest thing ever. I know you've seen the commercial for the Lionel train clock.
Right, right.
Where they show the little kid waking up and putting on his conductor's hat. And, you know, for like $15, you buy an alarm clock where a little plastic train goes around and around.
Uh-huh.
Well, they have the Dale Earnhardt clock.
NASCAR clock.
And what it is it's a friggin' plastic clock. That has a picture of his car on it.
Right, right.
And a print of his signature.
Sure.
And obviously, like, made in Taiwan for 15 cents. But they say, with each clock comes a numbered certificate of authenticity saying that this is officially licensed from the Intimidator, or whatever this guy's name is.
Yeah!
It's like $29 for this crappy clock.
That's, you know, it's big money. And, yeah. I mean, you know the gas stations around here. I mean, there's more NASCAR out around than in these here parts.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Yeah, I wanted to let you guys know that Waltrip did win the Daytona 500.
There you go. I thought he did.
In 89. It was his 17th try.
It was his 17th try. So was that the only time he ever won it?
Yep.
Okay.
Wow.
Great. All right.
So what are you? Are you like a NASCAR groupie?
Maybe a little.
Would you bang any of the drivers? Would you bang any of the ugly drivers?
No.
Would you? Who was the only driver you'd bang? Would it be Jeff Gordon?
No, I don't like him.
Hmm. Of all the drivers, which one would you bang?
If I had to pick one?
Yeah.
Probably Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. Oh, there's a Dale Earnhardt. And they all have sons.
Yeah. Yes.
They all have Bobby Unser Jr., Dale
right.
Earnhardt Jr., Richard Petty Jr. Well, of course, Kyle Petty that was killed tragically last year?
Yeah. DEAD. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Hey, I also used to race with Jeff Gordon when we were kids. And the reason I think that a lot of NASCAR people don't like him is just because his dad's rich and basically bought him all the hot cars.
He's a rich boy. All right.
Well, that's another great reason
I
hate him.
Okay. I hate him, too.
All right.
You guys have a good one.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Pretty boy. Pretty rich boy.
Gotcha.
Daddy bought it for you.
Okay, now listen, let me get back to one other thing before we bring the couple in. I mentioned in the, and our thanks to Daryl Waltrip, the Daytona 500, Sunday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on Fox.
Very good.
In the Sacramento Bee today, in the radio column written by Dixie Reed, the whole first part of this is about the radio station Married 50 Couples, and the second part is about us coming to Sacramento. Now, you know, I'm afraid that this is getting people excited unnecessarily.
Ooh.
Because the deal that we have with radio station KHTK is that if we come to Sacramento, we're doing the show this time from Arco Arena.
Right.
And I think the last time we discussed this on the air was, you know, if it's no Arco, no show.
Right.
That we want to do the show from the arena where the Kings play.
Otherwise, come and see us at Harris.
Right. So, I guess as a preemptive strike, here's what it says in the newspaper today. Sports 1140 is bringing the syndicated Don and Mike show and its racy live act back to Sacramento for a show April 20th. Now, I asked Charlie Broyhill. That date's not been put in cement with us.
Right.
The station's operations manager, Mike Remy, knows he'll need a big venue for the event. When the two were here last year, they packed Memorial Auditorium to capacity with over 4,000 fans, leaving several hundred stranded outside. Remy would like to book the act into Arco Arena, depending on the Kings' playoff schedule, or a football stadium. We're not doing the show. We're not doing a Las Vegas-style show from a football stadium.
No way.
No.
No, that's dumb.
No. And listen, this date of April 20th, I don't know where this date comes from, because I understand the problem that KHTK has. If the Kings go deep into the playoffs, and we think that they will,
right,
there's a chance that they'll have a home playoff game on one of the dates that we have to go to. We said, that's fine.
Right.
Just move our show to the next weekend when they're out of town.
That's it. Right.
But apparently they're stuck on this date, and we're not going to do the Las Vegas-style show from, like, a high school football field.
Bingo.
That's it. It's that simple.
We're not.
Ramey, he's been shifty in the past. You got to watch that guy.
And the article continues, in trying to explain Don and Mike's live show, Remy said, they have provocative acts that they bring. It's hard to explain without making it sound really
...... It's fun and provocative. They, for instance, have lingerie shows. They have... ... Oh, I would leave it at that. The shows are adult only and provocative. And free, the station will begin handing out tickets sometime soon. Don and Mike originates WJFK Washington, D.C., airs in Sacramento noon to 4. It's number one in the time slot among Sacramento listeners 25 to 54 years old. So listen, I guess what we're saying is what you're reading in the Sacramento paper today, we want to come out there. We've been in discussions with KHTK.
Right.
But we're not going to be on some high school football field.
No. It's not an appropriate show to do out of doors.
No, right.
You know, really. You got to have a door, okay? I don't care if it's a lot of doors and it's a big place, but you got to have a door there. This show doesn't go outside. It just doesn't. Right.
The deal that we've had with the station all along was, and this will be the third time we've been to Sacramento, the next time... It's going to be Arco Arena, where you get 18,000 people,
exactly.
And where you do a real freaking show.
Absolutely.
So, you know, let that be on your heads, KHDK, and don't start giving away tickets for a show that we might not be at.
No, that's foolish.
Right?
That is foolishness.
Hey, Chuck Broyhill, come here for a second. I want to ask you about this and ask you about something with our Reno trip, as a matter of fact, which is next Friday.
Wow. Next Friday, yes, a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
A week from tomorrow night, we will be on stage at Harrah's.
In Tahoe. Lake we'll do Tahoe. The show. Do the show Friday from K-Play in Reno.
That's right.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, John.
This crap in the newspaper.
Yes, it is.
Okay, where's he getting this stuff from?
I have no idea. It was not me.
The date? Is that a date that you had?
The date is one we have discussed, that one and the following Friday, but nothing has been set.
Okay.
It's all dependent on Sacramento making the playoffs or not.
Well,
they're not even in town. I think their last couple of games are on the road, so the arena should be open.
Okay, well then, would you...
So there's got to be other issues.
He's getting hinky with you.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, well, would you call him, please, and figure that out? Mm-hmm. Okay, and the second issue is, okay, we're going to go to Reno next Friday, and we invited Bonnie Bernstein from CBS...
Right.
...to come out and do the show with us and bring us out on stage at Harrah's in Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the sales staff here at WJFK, because they're always saying, give us a way to make money on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We love sponsoring stuff on the show.
Mm-hmm.
They always say there's never enough notice.
Yeah.
And usually I'll go out and get something where it benefits the show and not the bottom line of the struggling station.
Yeah, oh, listen, well, that's the other thing. Mm-hmm. You know, with all the talk about they can't afford to pay for envelopes and postage to mail out prizes today.
Right.
What was that thing you were reading me?
Oh, Viacom as a company and their profits for the year and the fourth quarter... report of Infinity Radio was up, I think, I don't remember the exact numbers anymore, but up 67%.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Some incredible amount.
The company made something like $20 billion just off the radio division in the fourth quarter.
Way
to
go.
That was Viacom that made that.
Yeah. So they wouldn't pay for envelopes, and now the sales staff, even though we've given them 3 weeks' notice on this, they now come and say, hey, we can't find a sponsor for Bonnie Bernstein. And what it means basically is buying her plane ticket out there,
mm-hmm,
and getting her a hotel room, mm-hmm, and a rental car.
No, we don't even need hotels. She's staying with friends. So we just need to fly her out there and fly her home.
And, you know, she's a star on CBS.
Yeah,
so we'd
like
to
fly first class.
She's got to fly first class. So being as the station has let us down, if there's a prospective client out there.
Yeah, an airline.
Yeah, or a travel agent.
Or anybody, you know, we get travel. We do this all the time.
Listen, this is how we're forced to do business now.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll pay for Bonnie Bernstein to fly out to Reno,
we'll make you one of our big sponsors for the show.
Yeah. And we'll give you plenty more than $5,000 or $3,000, whatever it costs to fly her out there, worth of free advertising on the show.
Because the people at our own radio station have let us down.
Yeah, they can't do it
again.
Right, not enough notice. Something. I have no idea.
Yeah, but we told them like 3 weeks ago, right?
Right when we got back from the Super Bowl. They wanted to put a package together, and there was just not enough money that could be made for
it. What about the people out there? What about the people at K-Play? They weren't able to do it either. They weren't able to do it either?
I
would think that they'd have a client that, you know, that would be local.
They're already whoring us out. I'm keeping us away from... They want us to go to a car dealership. They wanted us to go to a donut shop. They wanted us to go to a gun store.
Well, we'll be at Harrah's, and that'll be fine.
Yeah, they had a million places they wanted us to go, and we're out.
We'll be in a casino hotel.
So listen, if you'd like to get some advertising, and if you don't feel like paying, and incidentally, what's it cost for one commercial on the show here on WJFK? Something like
anywhere from $1,000 up, I think.
I think the last rate card I saw was $2,000.
Well, yeah, I mean, it goes. I think $1,000 is the least you would spend.
Right. So you're talking about. Listen, I guess what I'm saying is we'll make it worth your while.
Absolutely, because this is important to us.
Yeah,
this is a golden opportunity for someone.
We'd like to have Bonnie come out there and be a part of the show. And
frankly, it's your ass for it.
Yeah, and frankly, it'd be a great goof at Harrah's. When Bonnie Bernstein from CBS Sports
brings us out on stage
and introduces us.
Be fantastic.
So
kind of what Bonnie wants to do, and then she wants basically to run away. Yeah. Is that what she wants to do?
Yeah, she does.
She wants to come out on stage, we'll chat briefly, and then she's going to do a dead run out of the theater.
And we want to have her in the studio also for the live radio show that day.
Fantastic.
So if you're interested, and you're a client out there, and you don't mind spending some money, and promise we'll give you a good return on your money.
Mm-hmm.
God, it pains me to do this, to have to whore out the show like this.
I know, yeah. But you do it well, and I do it well also. Come on, please!
Call Charlie. Call him at the business line. It's 703-691-1900. Leave a message on his voicemail if you don't get him. And I promise, we'll make it worth your while.
Yeah, we'd tell you to call the request line, but then you'd get a free plug, and we wouldn't know whether you were serious.
Right, so please call Charlie off the air.
We don't get fooled like that anymore, do we, Charlie?
No, we don't.
Never.
No way.
So that's all the business we had to cover, right?
Yes, it is.
Sacramento? Mm. Okay. And if you could find out which station in Greenville Buddy Scott is at.
It's a group of seven or eight, and I'm working on a number for you.
Great. Thank you.
There he goes.
Then we'll call him on the air.
Climb along the branches out of here.
There he goes. All right. He's a good monkey, he is.
He is.
Our producer.
He's perky today.
Charles Broyo. He is especially monky-looking with his new haircut, don't you think?
Yeah, he shaved down that point that was at the front of his head. It looked like the bow of a ship.
All right, so to recap, the guy from Daytona was good.
Yeah.
Sacramento, don't know if we're coming or not. We'll work that out. Hopefully we'll be there at Oco Arena. We will be in Reno and Tahoe next Friday.
1 week from tomorrow.
We need a sponsor for Bonnie Bernstein, and thank you very much for that. Now, because this company can't afford it, because this company only made $20 billion, and that's with a B, billion dollars last year.
Come on, big bucks.
They can't afford it. When we come back, we're going to meet Mr. Perfect and Laura, the girl that he selected on yesterday's nude blind date. That's coming right up.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
And you can come to my office, lie on my couch, and cry about your mammy.
Proudly inviting all of America to eat their bung. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, Buzz, were you able to go to 1067WJFK.com?
Yeah, the pictures look great. The website looks 1,000% better today.
What's it got? What's it say?
Now it says WJFK with the logo at the top. A good picture of you guys and, you know, some good lettering that says The Don and Mike Show. And that says, here are pictures from The Don and Mike Valentine's Day Show. Click on any picture to see a larger version, and it works.
Do they have any more than four yet?
No, just those. That's all they have so far.
They're working on getting
good
the other pictures on the site, but again, it's 1067wjfk.com.
Right.
And one of the topless pictures is of Laura,
the winner,
who won the contest.
Right. Won $1,000 and went on the dream date with Mr. Perfect.
Let's wheel them in right now.
Bring in the two lovely individuals.
And see if they're ready to tell us if anything happened last night on their dream date.
Laura looks very happy. Mr. Perfect looked like he always looks.
Oh, you saw him out in the lobby?
Saw him in the lobby. Yeah, I couldn't get any read on him, but she seemed her usual bubbly self.
You know, I can't remember.
She's tough to read, too, I find.
She was in there. Hey, look on Buzz's computer. Take a look real fast.
Come around the corner.
You see the pictures? Look at how they pixelated out her nipples.
The famous blue spot. Yeah, actually, two blue spots.
They put two blue spots right over her nipples.
Well, let's bring them in now. Here's Laura and Mr. Perfect.
Here they come.
Back from their dream date last night.
Right.
Hello.
There they are. The lovely couple.
Welcome.
Fantastic.
Have a seat, both of you.
Hi, kids.
Nice to be in here with my clothes on.
But look at her. She looks even hotter today than she did yesterday.
She does. She does. She really was, I think, our favorite for to win the contest. We were hoping.
You were?
Well, actually, we were hoping that someone else you could win, but, you know.
Yeah, I guess
you're hoping for somebody else.
Yeah, actually.
You know, it could have gone either way. If it wasn't going to be someone who is a big-boned woman, we were glad that it was Laura.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way we felt.
When you guys left last night, first, how was the limo?
Limo was great. Driver Frank, very Italian.
Is something wrong with that, with being Italian?
No, nothing. I'm Italian. I mean, he's very Bambino-ish.
Very Bambino-ish.
So he was a chatty driver? Is that what he was?
He had wandering eyes, that was for sure.
He was checking out Laura?
Oh, yeah.
Did you like the driver, Laura?
Absolutely.
Into the microphone a little closer there, Laura. Thank you.
He was a complete gentleman to me. Very nice.
How was Mr. Perfect to you?
He was okay.
Oh, interesting.
He was okay. All right, walk us through this. How was dinner at the Palm?
Palm was great. What's his name?
Tommy Giacomo.
Tommy. Excellent.
He's a wonderful human being. Great character.
What a mouth. What a mouth on him.
Hey, let me tell you.
Yeah, I remember. I had my wedding rehearsal dinner at the Palm, and I'll never forget when my dear 70-something mom was sitting next to the Episcopal priest, and Tommy came over and leaned over to me, and I was sitting right next to the priest and my mom. He said,
"You guys effing cracked me up."
I'll never forget that.
Tommy's a great guy.
He is a great guy.
Great host. So what was the conversation like at dinner? Laura, let me ask you, what did Mr. Perfect, and as a matter of fact, in the car on the way over, what kind of scintillating conversation did he offer up?
Well, to be quite frank, it was okay. He really enjoyed talking about himself a lot.
Oh, my.
Which doesn't come to any surprise about the men around here.
Are you talking in general, the men around Washington?
Yeah.
Really? Well, what did he say about himself? Can you give us a recap?
Just that he's from California, and it's so wonderful out there.
Yada, yada, yada.
And how horrible this area is, which...
And did you ask her anything about herself?
Well, as exciting as, and, you know, as bouncy as she is in here, as soon as she got in the limo, it just all died out. Laura was, you know, it seemed like she was just concerned about her check, and that's all that mattered. She was a little tick that broiled, didn't cut the check right there, and that's about where it ended. So, you know, I mean, she was just quiet, so I just picked up the conversation.
Laura, your response?
No comment.
Come on now.
Was there a reason? Let me ask you a question. This is a valid question. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preconceived notion when you got into that limo? Did you have it in your mind that, you know, did you already judge Mr. Perfect before you got into the limo? Or did you leave open the possibility that maybe you'd have a good time?
I prejudged.
That's honest. I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah. As I recall, didn't you say... When he was out of the room and we said, if he approached you in a bar or a restaurant, would you go out with him? Didn't you say no?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, what was one of the other girls?
One of the things you did say, correct me if I'm wrong, when you first came in here yesterday, you said that you were one of the few contestants who said, I did this because I'd kind of like to have a date on Valentine's Day. So going into the competition, you actually...
That didn't show at all.
That didn't show at all.
No.
Well, she prejudged you, and she was honest about that. Now, when you, Mr. Perfect, when you got into the limo, did you leave open the door that, hey, maybe this is going to be a good time, or did you think maybe that wasn't going
to
happen?
No, to be honest, I was pretty happy with my choice. She seemed like a real bubbly girl, and we got in there, and she started talking a little bit, and she's like, man, Frank is really awesome. What a great guy. And then when I started talking to her, you know, where are you from, blah, 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 she was short and curt with her answers. And then we had this uncomfortable silence all the way to the restaurant where she proceeded to eat and eat and eat. And the woman was just, you know, she seemed very disinterested. So what can I say?
All right, Laura, what would you like to say in your defense?
Okay. Well, I was quite embarrassed because he was looking at every other girl in the restaurant.
Oh, boy.
What I had to say whatsoever.
That's like the first rule of first dates, Mr. Perfect.
Is that true, Mr. Perfect? Were you checking out the other girls?
Well, I didn't have a date in front of me, so I figured I'd look around at
people. Oh, my. This is one of those love connections that's just total disaster.
Well, now, listen, Laura, I urge you, don't just sit there and be quiet. Say what's on your mind, because we're getting the perspective from Mr. Perfect here.
Why don't you tell him about what you ordered and all the food you ate?
Oh, my God.
For a second, I picked Mindy, and I had to open my eyes and look over there the way she was eating.
That'd be interesting. I think we'd all love to know what was on the menu.
What did you have to eat?
That'd be fantastic.
Well, we ordered the crab meat cocktail.
Excellent. Mm. Down there at the Palm. Very good.
The Oysters Rockefeller.
Ooh. Two appetizers.
That's good for sex.
Yeah.
And then I ate a Caesar salad because I love Caesar salad. He didn't have any salad.
That's good. It's good. And Caesar salad's good.
They give you big ones.
I kind of went overboard with that.
With the Caesar salad?
Yeah.
And then what'd you have after that?
Then we ordered a 5-pound lobster.
We?
Excuse me.
What? Now, wait, hold on. You say, wait, did you both order it together?
He didn't say 5 pounds. She said to Tony, our barely English-speaking waiter, who actually I like very much, very nice guy, she said, I want the biggest lobster you have in the tank.
Did you really say that, Laura?
Of course I did.
Sure. If I'm going to get a free meal, I'm going to order the exact same thing.
But didn't stop there, though.
Really?
Okay, what else did you have, Laura?
What did you eat while she was having the 5-pound lobster?
Her scraps.
Wait, well, you didn't order anything?
No, I wanted to because what happened was I said, well, I want to get this. She said, well, I really don't like shellfish. And I said, well, okay, let's each order an appetizer and we'll share. Well, when I went to try her crab, she seemed a little upset because she said, this is really good. And she didn't like the Rockefeller. But she said, well, I'm glad I got this. And she kind of shifted her plate over a little bit. And I was like, you know, I didn't say it, but I was thinking, well, what happened to our deal?
Hold on a second. Let me get an outside opinion here. Joining us now is the manager of the world-famous Palm Restaurant in Washington, D.C., our friend Tommy Jocko.
Tommy!
Tommy.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, Tommy.
Tommy, what can you tell us about this couple last night? Was there any friction between them?
I think they're breaking your chops. Sparks were flying.
Really?
Yeah.
Thanks, Tommy.
Laura was absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Perfect, that's a perfect name. He just looks like Mr. Perfect.
Did they seem like they were enjoying themselves?
Well, I went back and checked them 3 or 4 different times. And the last time I went back there, Laura was kind of sliding down in her seat. She was like halfway under the table.
Oh, my. Really?
I didn't want to peek or anything like that because I'm not a big voyeur. But.
So if you were to walk by, after what you've heard them say on the radio today, would you think that they were, if you walked by them in the Palm last night, would you think they were a happy couple?
Oh, they looked lovely. Like I said, there were sparks flying from the table.
Hmm. There were sparks flying, but then I guess she slumped down
her
chair.
That was from her fork and knife working on her food.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, wow.
They did order one of the biggest lobsters.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, now hold on, Tommy. Let me ask you about that.
Yeah.
Was it they ordered the lobster, or was it that Laura ordered the lobster?
I did not take the order, but I think it was a mutual agreement between the two of them.
Mutual agreement between the two.
Consider it.
But meanwhile, Jason can refresh my memory. Who was the guy who kept calling in to check on you guys?
Oh, Tommy did. Absolutely.
What's his name?
Oh, the waiter?
The guy that kept calling on the telephone.
Oh, well, we were going to get to that. Tom Gavin.
Tom Gavin.
Called multiple times.
Oh,
what,
no.
You mean called the restaurant?
I thought he was with the show. He goes, are they there yet?
Oh, my God.
He goes,
is
the limo still there?
Oh, Tommy, sorry about that.
I had no idea who he was. I thought he was with the show.
Oh, my God, Tom Gavin.
And he called at 10 o'clock. Are they still there? Is the limo still there? I said, yeah, the goddamn limo's not going anywhere. So I go back. I said, who's this guy that keeps calling? Do you know who that man is? I have no idea who the guy was.
Sorry about that, Tommy.
We'll try to keep Tom away from you next time we send people down there.
I thought he was a stalker or something.
You're absolutely correct about that.
And Charlie Broyhill, he's another great guy, right? He calls me and tells me they're coming down. So I go very innocently. I say, Charlie, is he going to be wired? You know what Charlie goes? I hope not. I go, and he might. He goes, I was thinking something else. He goes.
Oh, man, Charlie Broyhill.
Well, Tommy, as always, thank you for being a fantastic host.
They were a great couple. They were a very pretty couple, and I think they had a good time.
Very good. Right. I know they had a good time. Always at your restaurant, Tommy.
All right, guys, take care.
Thank you, Tommy.
Bye, guys.
Tommy Giacomo from the Palm Restaurant.
One of the throwbacks, really. One of the originals. Tommy's one of the originals.
Can you imagine how annoying that would be? Oh. Hello, Palm Restaurant. Hi, this is Tom Gavin.
Tom Gavin, stalker Tom Gavin.
God. Hey, well, don't forget, when Bart was in the hospital 3 years ago with appendicitis,
he called the hospital.
Yeah, I picked up the hospital bed, mm-hmm. The
phone
in the bedroom there.
Right.
I pick up and go, hello? He goes, hi, guys, it's Tom Gavin. How is Bart?
Oh, God.
So, Jesus Christ, what a nightmare that was.
That is bad. That is very bad. We're going to have to call him on that.
We're going to have to yell at him.
If he gets through there.
Tom, call us.
Good through luck. That head of his.
Good luck.
That melon.
Right. So now, listen, Tommy Giacomo from the Palm says you appeared to be a wonderful couple with sparks.
All right. We were just messing with you guys. We had a great time.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, wait, hold on. You're just busting our balls?
You were just busting your balls.
Oh! You mean you really did have a good time?
We had a
awesome
fantastic time.
Look at this! They had a good time. They had such a good time that they planned this little skit that they didn't get along.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Really? Wow.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Really? We had three different angles we were going to come at you with.
Really?
The one that panned out the best.
Well, no, it absolutely proves to me you had a good time if you actually...
Are we going
to
do the fellatio bit?
Oh. come on, please.
Tell us about the fellatio bit. We'd love to hear that. Absolutely.
I'm just glad I brought a condom. Well, two at that.
Oh, really? Yeah. But
did you guys, was there any action at all?
No.
Come on.
We're just playing.
No.
We're just playing.
Come on.
Yeah.
There really wasn't.
Did you kiss her?
No.
You know, now we can't believe anything you say. You're
right.
There wasn't even a kiss on the cheek?
No, just
a handshake?
No.
I see that.
He grabbed my breast and said, it was nice meeting you.
Said, okay. That was an
answer. And then I, you know, grabbed,
and you grabbed his package.
Yeah, and I said, it was nice meeting you too.
You know what I bet?
I bet that they banged and banged last night.
I bet they did too. Uh-huh. And they just don't want to kiss and tell. You know, I'm thinking about that. Wouldn't that be something if that was the cultural greeting? You know, that the man would say, I just had such a great time. And
grab her
the breast and then she grabs the package.
It should be.
Thank you so much. And it would be a shake.
I believe in Madagascar where they run people over with a steamroller. They do
that. Yeah, I know. You know what? Look at these. Now that I figured out that they were scamming us.
So there's a chance that you guys would go out on your own dime, right? You'd go out again? Definitely, says Mr. Perfect. Laura?
Absolutely.
Oh, my.
Well, why don't you ask her out right now, then?
Okay, I guess I'll just repeat it.
Oh,
you want to go out again?
Sure do.
Look
at that.
You guys fooled us.
Look at that.
You really got along well.
So it was actually a fantastic date.
We had just a fabulous time. It was great. Tommy made it great. The restaurant was awesome. It wasn't too stuffy. Food was awesome. Our waiter was great. We do have to tell you, I don't know if you know, your pictures are defaced in the Palm restaurant.
Oh, the one downtown?
I mean,
oh, my God.
Severely defaced.
Why?
Really?
What has been done to our pictures on the wall?
I forgot to ask Tommy. He said he knew who did it. It was some rival...
radio station.
Yeah.
But really?
I'll tell you about that later.
Oh, you know about that? What'd they do?
Man. I was hoping you'd never find out.
Oh, what did Charlie tell you not to tell us that?
That's all right. Tommy wanted us to tell you.
Are we going
to
be really mad when we find out?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. All right, yeah. Mm. All right, that's interesting.
Okay.
Well, so, now we're chomping at the bit. Now we got to find out. It's somebody, obviously, who's doing it probably to get exposure.
Someone who can't get their face on the wall.
Are you thinking of the same individual?
Yeah, of course I am.
Right. Yeah, and I don't think we should. That's good.
All right.
That's good.
All right. What did the dick we do to our picture, though?
Well, see, who's on the left? Looking at it.
I don't know.
Whoever that is, it's almost entirely gone. You can see the white behind it. And,
right.
The other one's all cut up.
Oh.
It's pretty bad.
Nice.
Oh, that's terrific.
That's nice.
Well, Tommy should, replace that.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And he should put some type of a protective screen over our pictures so that jealous disc jockeys who can't get their pictures on the wall there won't deface our pictures.
Put us up high enough where it doesn't happen again, that son of a bitch.
Can I say something? I heard the little bits on the G. Gordon Liddy show about me and the cold. Can I just say that, you know, men's twig and berries are like mutual funds. When the market's cold, you have to be patient, work with it, it'll grow and grow and pay out great dividends.
Now, what are you talking about? I'm not sure. Are you talking about you heard it on a promo or something like that, or what?
I heard it on the G. Gordon Liddy show. They were playing promos from yesterday's show.
Really?
And I heard Don talking about, well, it must be really cold.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't know about that promo, but I'm sorry if that offended you.
You had a wonderful date. I wouldn't obsess about the penis size.
I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Were you happy with his penis?
Laura?
Sure. I mean, you can see it.
Now, will you guys give us the courtesy if you know, if you're like 6 months down the road, you're still going out with each other? I mean, we'd love to know about that. We'd love to track your progress.
Oh, yeah.
It would
absolutely be
wonderful. Because, I mean, you know, sometimes stuff like this, goofy stuff like this,
it never really happens, but sometimes it might.
One of these days.
One time it might.
You might get married in a parking lot.
Oh, who knows? Absolutely. Yeah, I think you'd owe it to us. If you ever did get married, you should get married on the show.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But really, did you bang her last night?
Mr. Perfect wouldn't tell anyway, but not
you just spoke of yourself in third person.
Yeah, I know. He's getting a little full of himself.
A little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's because I had 35 messages on my phone when I got home.
Wow.
I didn't tell anybody, but I guess my voice, everybody recognized it. And
all right, now, would you mind if we took your picture so we could put it on a website?
I don't have my clothes on.
Exactly.
What, Charlie?
I was just curious. When I called you this morning, where were you?
At home.
By yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why'd you ask her that?
Inspector Gadget doing a little sleuthing.
Because I had to call this morning. There was some information I needed to process her check.
Yeah.
She sounded like I had woken her up. And I asked if she had a good time. She said, well, you'll hear later. So I just thought maybe that...
he was still there?
Or she was still there.
Were you guys together?
No, I just didn't want to spoil it.
Okay.
We're going to tell you this.
Bring Lisa in with a camera, then. So
you know what I like?
Get the picture of the happy couple.
There's an air of mystery that surrounds this couple, and I think that's very, very cool.
No,
very
cool. They did it. They absolutely did it.
We have a lot in common. A lot.
Yes.
Were you surprised at that when, as the evening unfolded?
What do you have
getting
common?
Honest answers?
Besides the fact that you both like having sex on the first date, what else do you have in common? Fellatio? Cunnilingus?
No, we really like animals. He's from California, and I want to move to California, and he's moving back, and we both like acting, so we're going to go out there and...
You do some acting out there?
Hand at acting, yeah.
You both like pornos?
Because really, if the acting thing goes down the crapper, you know, I mean...
In pornos, but I like pornos.
We both don't like big women.
Wait, like bad women? It just could have been a hell of a lot worse. I'm just glad the date went as well as it did.
Very good.
All right, here's the camera here. All right, Lisa, line them up. Now sit close to each other and act like you're happy. I mean, I know you are happy.
Yeah, how about an arm around?
Yeah, Mr. Perfect, unfold your arms, for God's sake.
Just relax, Mr. Perfect.
Okay, now
these days you'll become, you know, comfortable in this studio.
Come on, a nice happy smile now so we can put it on the website.
There you go.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Creep into that one, Mike?
I just gave my goofy picture.
At least I want the caption to be underneath, they had anal.
Functioning camera. Go on, keep talking.
Well, you got a problem with the camera?
All right, here we go.
One more time.
Wonderful.
Okay, now say, smell my fingers. There you go.
Beautiful.
All right, thank you, Lisa.
The happy couple.
Excellent. All right, well, you busted our balls. You got away with it. Mm-hmm. We're glad that you had a good time last night.
Yeah, it's always good when the date ends good. I mean, I would have been disappointed. I wouldn't really care, but I would have been disappointed if it ended like that.
Mm-hmm. And please let us know of your progress as a couple.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, now, both of you, please get out.
See you later.
I'm just, can I get a picture, an autographed picture from you guys? Since I didn't get $1,000, that's your like a picture.
Talk to Rob.
Rob's got a bunch of them.
Me too. Me too, me too.
Absolutely.
Hold on, Mr. Perfect. Hold on. Sarah from yesterday's show wants to talk to you.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
You know, you really had me going, Jason and Laura. Sorry. I was going to call up and say, you know, I'm still free. I'm still free.
Oh, that's too bad.
Thanks, Sarah.
I know.
But if, you know, things don't work out with Laura, maybe Sarah would be available. You know, that sounds like it.
Really?
And Sarah, which one were you?
I was number four.
Number four.
Don't you remember
Ivory Girl?
The girl with the nipple piercing.
Yeah, that's
that. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Did you get the Harley Davidson shirt on?
No.
Sarah's on the website as well. She's blonde.
No, this is not the woman with the Harley Davidson.
Not the girl with the mustache.
No.
All right. Thank you, Sarah.
Uh-huh.
Bye, honey.
Look at this happy couple.
Look at them. Hello there, Donna Mike Show.
I just wanted to tell you that the NBA playoffs don't start till the 21st of April.
Oh, is this about Sacramento?
Right.
Okay, can you hold on a second?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Sacramento wouldn't be pulling anything on us, would he? He's never done that before.
No, he never has. All right, and here you go. Look at how fast these were whipped up for you. Personalized, signed autographed pictures from both Mike and I.
Really?
Awesome.
Wow.
Robin.
And
listen,
fabulous.
I want to show you something. Hold on. I'm really going to sign my name.
Mike, you lost a lot of weight.
Oh, my God. That doesn't even look like either one of you. I want a newer picture.
Look at that. Doesn't that look just like my signature? Doesn't Rob do a perfect forge?
Thanks, Rob.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And Mike, write yours down and show them your signature.
Okay.
This is why we...
Give me a second here.
No, come on.
You guys look so different.
Come on.
Oh, now.
Come on.
Oh, my
God. Just a sec. I'll be done.
Normally,
he does a good job, though, doesn't he? He recreates it.
Okay.
I got it. Here we go. That's mine. What do you think? Doesn't he recreate mine well?
Very nice, yes. Very good. I can't tell the difference.
No, I'll do it. I'll show you. This is the way.
Look at it, really.
All right.
Doesn't Rob do a perfect imitation of our signatures?
No.
Laura, you're unhappy about this, aren't you?
You guys look so much better in person right now than this picture.
Yeah, we're going to have that picture redone.
Please do.
Okay. I want to say hi to my friend Carol, Katie, and my roommate, Latu.
Latu?
Latu.
He's part black, part Indonesian, part Filipino.
Hey, Mr. Perfect, go down there and slay the dragon.
And how about you, Laura?
I'd like to say hi to my girlfriend, Kristen, and my roommate, Stephanie, and everybody else who listened to the show and called me and told me it was great. Thanks.
You were? Okay,
get out of here now.
Bravo.
Hey, that's great. Here they go, the happy couple.
Here they go.
Laura and her Mr. Perfect.
Bye.
Oh, look at her with the leather pants or whatever the hell she's got on today.
Yeah, it's a nice outfit.
Yeah. She had that shirt that did. Look at no bra. Mm. See her belly button and everything.
So she's got her own style.
H.O.T.
Beautiful unique woman.
She is very hot, hot, hot.
They're very, very happy. Happy.
Mm-hmm. They really bust our balls.
Yeah.
We really fell for it.
Yes, we do.
Because we're a couple of big mooks. Yes, we're a couple of big mooks. Tom Gavin called the Palm Restaurant last night. That dumb, 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 dumb monster.
I love this music.
Yeah. Well, how about that? We never get a happy ending on this show.
No, and you know they had to get along because they came up with that scheme, mm-hmm. that story that they were going to share with us. Fantastic.
I wish I knew what that fellatio story was that they had to warn me on.
Yeah.
You know, just the fact that they were talking about fellatio.
They have a lot in common. And, well, as Tommy said, the sparks were flying, and I guess we'll find out about that picture thing a little
later. Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Do you think the fellatio bit had anything to do with Tommy?
Tommy Giacomo?
Yeah.
No.
Be a good story, wouldn't it?
I don't think so.
No, not Tommy. And Mr. Perfect.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio God.
Hi there. Thanks,
I need some advice, fellas.
What?
I'd like some advice.
Okay, go.
My wife gave me a book yesterday for Valentine's.
You know what? Hold on. We got to do a break. I promise we'll talk to you right after the break, okay?
Sure.
Okay, thank you very much for your indulgence. We will... Oh, that wasn't him. You're still there?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, hold on, everybody. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Take it easy, honey. After all, we never see them.
Well, it's almost worse this way, just hearing them.
Are your utmost concern, the Don and Mike Show.
All right. Hello there, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Don and Mike. This is Amy from the contest yesterday. How are you?
Amy, are you Amy the exotic dancer?
Yes.
Ah, big, tall Amy, beautiful tall Amy.
Hey, I was trying to catch, what's his name, before he left your show. Hmm. Where'd he go?
I don't know if they're still here. Why? What do you need him for?
Well, I wanted to let him know that he can come see Anne-Marie and I tonight at Crystal City Restaurant because we have probably about 10 perfect women working tonight.
You know, I'll tell you right now, Mr. Perfect is a lot of the follow-ups. You know, a lot of the women were low-key in it when they were in here yesterday when he was naked, but a lot of
they all liked him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, all right. He's awesome. He's very handsome.
All right. Well, there's your plug, honey. Thank you
very
bye-bye.
Much.
All right. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike. Is this the guy I put on hold?
Yes.
Hi.
Okay. Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
My wife gave me a present yesterday, and it was a book called Chicken Soup for Couples.
Let me just say, that is... That's a mistake. That is a bad, bad mistake.
Especially on Valentine's Day, you don't give a self-help book.
I mean, Christ, you know, those chicken soup books are as bad now as the books for dummies.
Uh-huh.
You know, the football for dummies,
right.
Internet for dummies.
Mm-hmm. Chicken soup for the soul. That's what started it, right?
Right, and now you have chicken soup for the teenager,
right.
Chicken soup for the couples. Ugh.
She would like me to read a few pages every morning before I go to work, and look, that. Well, my quality J.O. time, guys.
Yeah. Right. Hey, I see that book's working, though.
Yeah. Just like Lester Burnham. That's the only happy time in Lester Burnham's day in American Beauty is when he's in the shower.
In the shower. Mm-hmm.
I know y'all don't condone suicide, but maybe you could just suggest a caliper to blow my head clean off.
Hey, listen, do you have the book with you?
No, I sure don't. Thanks for asking.
I'd love you to read us, like, the first page to see what kind of crap it is.
Isn't that the same kind of men are from Mars, women are from Venus?
Yeah, it's like a self-help book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, please, that's ridiculous. Is your marriage, does your wife hate you?
I don't think so.
How many times have we said on this show again and again and again, there's no improving for anyone.
Right.
You are what you are.
Yeah.
That's right. Accept it, deal with it.
Right.
And Don?
Yeah.
That Waltrip guy you talked to yesterday? Earlier today?
Yes, Darryl Waltrip.
I thought you'd appreciate this. When he won the Daytona 500, he did the icky shuffle.
All right, thank you, sir. Well, you tell your wife tonight you're going to do the icky shuffle on her face.
Yeah,
keeps
thank
giving you. Those
There's an idea.
Those ridiculous books. All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That'll be fun, though. You mean that only in the best possible way.
Oh, no, when I said icky shuffle, I didn't mean with the fist.
No.
The icky shuffle with, you know.
Oh.
On her face. On her face.
You're confused. What you're thinking of is the knuckle shuffle.
Oh, yeah, okay, Rob. There you go.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Slow down, Tiger.
Hello.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi.
Hey, I got some news on your facing up at the Palm Restaurant.
Oh, listen, everybody's calling. We know that the dickhead disc jockey who did it. Let me just tell you about this guy, Elliot, on DC 101, okay?
Go ahead.
There, I said it. The guy's got no ratings.
It is one of the worst shows I have ever heard, and I have heard a lot of radio shows, but man, I like disc jockeys who are so bad they're good, that they're so bad you can really, you know, listen to them. He's not even so bad he's good. He's just so bad.
Yeah, and nice laugh also, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Nice nice fake laugh.
Oh, my God.
He shouldn't be Elliot. He should be idiot.
Listen, here's the deal. The guy cannot get a ratings point to save his life.
It's a horrible show. There's no way he's going to get ratings points.
So what he's doing is he's constantly trying to take swipes at us so that we will get into some kind of radio war with him that will only benefit him. I mean, the truth of the matter is he's a nothing. Jack Diamond, now there's a guy that we've hated, and with good reason, for years and years and years, but we're not going to be sucked into this thing just because he wants publicity. And furthermore, I'd say to him, you know, I would go deface your picture, except, oh yeah, that's right. Your picture isn't anywhere in town.
I appreciate that, man. I just wanted to help you out, buddy.
Now listen, we know who it is. Yeah. I mean, we get called every day. Lisa says every day we get calls. Oh, the guy on DC 101 is talking about you again. Right.
Yeah.
Keep listening, Elliot. Keep writing down bits you can rip off on your lame show.
There. Enough said about that guy.
Gotcha.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And as Larry Lujack once said to me, the eagle does not hunt flies.
I don't know how accurate this story is, but someone told me this morning that Harvey had an encounter with this same guy at a movie screening that both stations were doing. And Harvey went up to him and said, have you been talking about me? Let's go outside right now and I'll kick your ass.
Oh. Harvey said this to Elliot?
Yes. And it must have worked.
My God.
Oh, really? So you mean...
Yeah.
That guy was threatened by Harvey? And
if the story I heard is true, yeah, he was afraid of HJF.
Harvey threatened to kick a guy's ass?
I'm thinking we send Lisa or Tom. No.
Wow.
Imagine that.
Oh, so he's a physical coward.
I would be ashamed to hold my head high.
Is he a little bitty guy? Is that what he is?
I guess a little
bit of a guy?
Jack Diamond offered to fight me and I backed down.
Right.
Harvey's short.
No, Harvey's a little bit of a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Harvey's tiny, but Harvey's like Andre the Giant compared to this other disc jockey.
That's funny. That's pretty damn funny. I like that.
Hey, you know what? Maybe we'll let Harvey back on the show if he'll tell us about how he threatened to kick
Elliot's ass.
Yeah, we'll have a momentary truce with Harvey to hear that story. That
maybe
would
we
be
could
fun.
Have them fight in the parking lot.
That'd be great.
Beautiful.
Greece could be the draft.
Hey, Aboligi.
If we could find him in the Virgin Islands. Wow. Christ. Amazing. Jesus Christ. All you, DJs. All
you,
business.
All you dumbass disc jockeys. Why don't you just worry about getting yourself a ratings point?
Amen.
Just get your own goddamn ratings point.
Absolutely.
Please. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Don and Mike. I have the book in my hands, The Chicken Soup for the Couple Soul.
Oh, beautiful. Can you read me just the first page?
Well, the first page after the list of contents?
Yeah, yeah. Whenever the first real page of chapter one is.
All right, hold on a second.
First page of real instruction, you know, where they're really instructing us on.
Oh, and Lisa has just handed me a note that if you would like to see the picture of the happy couple, Mr. Perfect and Laura, go to 1067wjfk.com.
Wonderful.
Because the picture is up. Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, first page, the real first page is called Thinking of You. And the first line is, to live in hearts we leave behind is not to die, by Thomas Campbell. And, God, this is so stupid. Sophie's face faded into the gray winter light of the sitting room. She dozed in the armchair that Joe had bought for her.
Okay, stop right there. I've heard enough.
Right there, that's enough.
I know, it makes me cry.
I swear to God, Frida.
It makes you cry. Though.
Frida bought me that book. I'd hit her in the head with that book.
It's pretty heavy. And he has like stories by Marianne Williamson, Deepak Chopra, blah, blah.
Oh, yuck.
Self-improvement.
You know what? However, if a guy gets that from his wife, that means that's bad news.
That's trouble. I call that trouble, with a capital T.
That is bad news.
It's not even good for bathroom reading.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
No all way. Right. It's really bad.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Oh, and Buzz, did they put the caption on the bottom of the picture?
No. Oh, yes. Yes, they did. Mr. Perfect and Laura after a night of anal, it says.
Beautiful. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you for pointing out that fake laugh. That thing just drives me insane.
Okay, listen, you know what? Hold on. Please, you know what? You're just feeding into the idiot's plan now.
Yeah, don't do that, okay?
Right.
Okay, enough about that. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Besides, Tom Gavin's on the phone.
Tom. Dr. Tom. Tom, what the hell are you doing?
Tom, why were you calling the Palm Restaurant last night?
I wasn't.
Tom.
Yes, Tom, tell the truth.
Tom, don't you lie to us, Tom.
Don't lie to us, Tom.
To see if they got there all right.
How many times did you call, Tom?
Twice.
More than that, Tom. Tell the truth.
Five.
Five?
Five times.
To see if they got there all right.
Tom, why were you bothering the restaurant?
To see if I can get a, what do you call it?
What? If you can get a what?
Tom, there really was no reason for you to call the restaurant, was there?
No.
No, but you called five times.
Yeah.
You know, Tommy's our friend down there, you know that.
No.
You know.
The manager down there, his name is also Tom.
I know.
All right. Okay. Oh, you said you're sorry. Thank you,
Tom. That's very nice of you, Tom. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Tom.
You guys all talking about Elliot. He's a stupid jerk.
Well... Thank you, Tom.
He is a stupid jerk. He is.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Tom. Tom, how do you spell sorry?
S-O-R-R-Y.
Hey.
Very close.
You know, from God's lips,
love means knowing how to spell your sorry.
Thank you, Tommy.
Hey, give me another word to spell.
Another word to spell.
Yeah.
All right. Remorse.
Remorse?
No, remorse.
Remorse.
Like you're sorry. It's another word for sorry. Remorse, Tom.
It's M-O-R-R-Y.
Perfect. Maury,
okay. I'll give you one. Regret.
Regret?
Regret.
R-E-C-A-K-E.
Perfect again.
Retake.
Let's keep a theme. Apologize.
Oh, Rob, too. Make an apology.
Okay, apology.
P-A-G-A-R-A-N.
That's right.
And Hagaran.
And one more time, perfect. Just to round it all out. Sorry.
S-O-R-R-Y.
Fantastic.
Gotcha. All right. Bye,
hey,
Tommy.
I'd like to advertise my T-shirts.
Sure. Go ahead,
Tom. Anybody that there listening, T-shirts up on the website. I got some here at the
Nice. Well, I mean, if anybody's out there listening, I'm going to be at JB's restaurant tonight
Let me just give the website. TomGavin.com.
TomGavin.com. On the website, will they know where you're going to be tonight?
I'm going to be at JB's with The Outskirts. That's a female band.
A night that'll make you roar.
All right. Goodbye, monster.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, Tom?
Oh, he's gone.
Rob wanted him to spell the word stain. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
Hi, buddy. We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I wanted to talk about the book that my wife got me for Valentine's Day.
What's that?
Laura Korn's 101 Quickies.
Okay.
I know you guys have looked through that book.
I got one word for you on that.
Yeah,
listen to me carefully.
Which one?
Fireplace.
That was my question. That was my question is, what should I start with?
A fire.
Fire. A fire.
What you should do is start with newspaper.
No.
No, listen, actually, you wouldn't even need the newspaper.
That's right.
You need a lighter.
It's my
lighter.
Right.
Okay.
That's our advice.
Thanks for the advice, guys. I love your show. Thanks.
That's right. You can warm yourself tonight with that.
Warm and toasty.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Hi there.
I just wanted to let you guys know, yesterday, when you were talking about the Baltimore WJFK site,
yeah,
I went to it and checked it out, and they had like this little internet poll thing on there where you could vote for who was your favorite, DJ slot on Baltimore's WJFK.
Right.
So I clicked on Don and Mike, hit send, and it gave you the results, and you guys had like 15,000 votes, as opposed to like a couple of hundred for each of the other two that were on there.
Yeah, well, we're very popular in Baltimore. We thank everybody for listening to us up in Baltimore.
Nice to get a little positive feedback. Thank you for sharing that with us.
On JFK
Jr.
Just
wanted to let you guys know that you rule and we love you.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful.
And that's good, especially with the recent Baltimore talk that we've been doing.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
On.
Hello.
Hello.
And how come that guy was from Baltimore? He had like a British accent.
Because as soon as you live in Baltimore long enough, it turns into a British accent.
Well,
it goes
from like this to, hey, Maddie Bear, that's incredible, hon. I'll tell you, I'm going to go down and see Carl at the polo yard. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Okay, what can we do for you?
Yeah, I was calling you to let you know I just had moved to this area and... I'll call in listen to how much I appreciate the show and listen to a lot of the DJs and radio talk shows. And this
right.
is the best show that I've heard.
Thanks.
I've had a little question for
thanks,
you.
Thanks very much. Okay, what's the question?
The question is, I just was reading about a new law that they passed over in Fairfax County. I was wondering if you had any comments about it, about the law they passed where if you owned a house, the only place you could sleep in your house was
Mike? Mike, suck my toes. Mike. What?
Hello?
Did you say suck my toes?
No, I did not.
You said suck my toes.
I didn't say anything of the kind. I wouldn't do that.
You said suck my toes.
There ain't no way. Is the caller gone?
He's gone.
Say hello to Don, Mike.
What, hello?
Hello, Don.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Hey, remember I called you when me and Mouse were out at in Hawaii?
Oh, is this
a have you ever had Frida rub sand on your genitalia?
is this the Rudy Martsky impersonator?
Oh, no, this is Rudy himself.
Rudy himself. How you doing, Rudy?
Hey, yeah, we're doing good. But I'll tell you, the sensation of sand on your genitalia is just uncomparable.
Did Mouse do that for you, Rudy?
Yeah, Mouse did that for me, I'll tell you. It's a Valentine's present that'll last me.
You know what makes me laugh about it?
Well, in the next year.
The guy's not even trying to do an impression of Rudy.
That's what makes it funny.
It's just, okay, hi, this is Rudy Martsky. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Hey, listen, Mike, I got a question for you, buddy. I'm going down to South Carolina next month.
Yes, buddy, my friend.
Hey, buddy.
Yes, pal.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I want to know how to guard against my golf clubs being stolen.
Well, you know, if that story I told, if you're talking about that story that I told when I came back from my vacation, mine were not stolen. As that story ended, they were misplaced. Remember, the guy took them to the airport, the guy, because they had like 15 clubs in the back of this van, and he just, you know, he accidentally took the club.
It was just an honest mistake,
but
right?
But to be really honest with you, the only way to guarantee against your clubs ever being stolen, when they just don't leave them out, if they're like 500 golf clubs at a big, one of those big golf places, you know, you just keep them in sight. You keep them with you, take them to dinner, sleep with them, mm-hmm. and you know, it's kind of embarrassing, especially when you go to a very nice restaurant and you bring your golf clubs in there with you. You know, they give you a dirty look, but hey, they'll never be stolen.
I love Don and Mike show.
I hate to say this, the more Dennis Murphy, less Tom the 15% retarded. Christ's sake, you just shouldn't be bothering contestants like that.
Christ's sake.
Jeez, I mean, you guys want people to play your contest. If you're going to, you know, play a contest that have Tom Gavin bug you, what's the point?
Well, no, listen, for the record.
Bosh on that, you know, that 15% retarded guy.
For the record, I believe the day that we actually did do the test on Tom, it was higher than 15%.
Yeah, so back off of that.
Okay. I'm just claiming that's what he says.
And second, I don't think Tom actually bothered either Laura or Mr. Perfect.
He may have gotten on the first call. You know, I'm calling for the couple.
Yeah,
but he bothered Tommy down at the phone.
After that, he just bothered.
Five times. What's the point? I mean, he should know better.
Okay, all right. As you said, no. for Christ's sake, we'll do something about it.
But you should punish him. I would say...
Punish him. Listen, hello, can I tell you something? God has already punished him.
There's no need.
Okay?
You lay off of Tom. He's a friend of this show.
Now listen to this coming out of my ass right now.
Here's a message. That sounded dangerous.
I'm sorry. And Rob, how many have I fired off in your face today?
Enough. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, I've had like...
Great. I love it when that happens because I'm not getting any over here.
I've had like a million of them, and we've been in the middle of conversation, so I've just farted in Rob's face.
It's been a methane kind of day around here, and that last one sounded like the dew falling off the leaf.
I had nothing there. That's not even sponsorable. That's embarrassing.
It's a drip.
I'm ashamed of my ass. Hello, Son and Mike show.
Hi. Trying to figure out what's going on with your radio station in my town.
In Greenville?
Actually, we're in Belton, South Carolina.
Okay, same thing. Yeah. All right, here's what's going on, honey. There's an evil man named Buddy Scott.
Uh-huh.
He runs all the radio stations in Greenville, and he's not having any of the Don and Mike show.
He fired me about 15, 16, 17 years ago. He fired Buzz. He hates us. I don't think we'll be back in Greenville.
No.
No, that's not a joke, honey. I'm sorry.
You still trying to reach old Buddy Scott?
Charlie Broyhill's working on it.
Very good.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I just heard the guy jump down my ass. I just want to know what the hell was going on.
Tom, you give him a piece of your mind.
Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, you dumb... What should I say? Can I say it?
Well, use the letters,
Use the initials.
You dumb effing knucklehead. I'm going to knock the crap out of you if you don't call back in.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend a dime at Mike's. You better watch it.
Right.
I'm going to come in and stalk you out. If you come in, you come near me, I'm going to stalk you out. I'm going to fight you, and I'm going to bust you over the head with my cane, man.
Yeah.
Bust you over my cane.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm going to come down here, and I'm going to be in the studio if you call.
Yeah, okay.
If I come down here this next Tuesday.
No, don't come down here, Tom. Don't come down, but it's good you want to kick his ass. Way to go, Tom.
Way to go, Tom.
I'm
going to
kick his... Can I say it?
No, don't say it. Just use the letter.
Kick his effing ass.
Yeah. Right.
Way to go, Tom.
I'm going to kick your goddamn ass, buddy.
Way to go, Tom.
I'm going
to
knock you out, man.
You let him have it, Tom.
I'm going to have it out, man. Come
on. Go, Tom. Go.
Do it.
Go, Tom.
Come on, man. Get the heck off of that stuff.
Come on, Tom.
Man of the earth. I'm going to knock you out.
Come on, get mad, Tom.
I'm going to get you, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to stalk you like a badass, man.
Yeah, you're going to stalk. You're going to live in his house.
I'm going to live in your house, man.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to his ass, man?
Like, kick his ass up and down.
Yeah.
Right.
Up and down the street.
Yeah.
Up and down the street.
Yeah.
Up and down the street, your ass, man.
Yeah.
Because you're a badass.
That's right, Tom. You tell him.
I'm going to kick your ass, man.
Yeah, that's right. You tell him.
Right. Go in, you big bat.
That's the best Tom Gavin call we've gotten in a long time.
Good for you, Tom.
I'm going to see if he calls in.
Yeah.
See if Lisa gets a call.
All right, hold on. I'll see if he's calling back. Hold on a second. Hello. Is this the guy that wants to fight Tom?
No, I'm Tom Gavin's brother.
All right, now stop that.
Is this the guy that wants to fight Tom? Or hates Tom?
Hello?
No. Hello, who's this?
This is April.
Hi, April.
Hi. I have a problem. My boyfriend...
April. Dear. April, I have to delete that out. You can't use such explicit terms. What she said was when she gives a moniker, her boyfriend is not able to give her the completion.
Right. She's not able to... he's not able to get his result.
Let me ask you, April, do you wear braces?
No. No, what I'm saying is...
Hey, April, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
Do you have TMJ?
No.
Have you ever had your bite checked?
No.
Do you think you know how to do that well?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, twice in a row now we told her not to say that.
Right.
She said that.
Duh. Maybe she doesn't know how.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike about Survivor.
Okay, tomorrow. We talk about that tomorrow.
Can I talk about tomorrow? Are we gonna talk, can I talk about something right now? Like
no.
Valentine's Day?
No. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Tom Gavin is brilliant.
He is. Yeah, I could not agree with you more. Is this the guy? Hello?
Hello.
Is
Tom.
Hold on. Let me put you on with him. Tom, the guy called back.
Hey, you dumb calling people at the restaurant when they're trying to have a date. That's all I'm saying. Who's this?
It's the guy that was calling.
What's your name, man?
It was the guy that was calling and complaining
it's
about
Andy.
You, Tom.
Andy? Randy. From where? From Reno. How'd you know about what happened? It was on the damn radio, Christ's sake. Don and Mike were talking about it. Who was talking about it? Who was talking about it? The guy from the pond, dumbass.
Hey, don't call Tom a dumbass. Tommy,
you son of a bitch!
He called you a dumbass, Tom.
I'm going to kick his goddamn ass.
You ain't kicking nothing.
Do I say it, Don?
No, just use the initial song.
F you, dummy. Get the hell off the phone.
Yeah!
You roar like a pussy.
Get the bubbles!
I said it. You roar like a pussy.
You suck!
You can't roar. You don't know how to roar. Big pussy.
Big fat ass.
You're the one with the fat ass.
I'm going to say, can I say it, Don?
No. Tom, just use the initials, please.
F you out of there now.
Kiss my bung.
Hey, I'm going to kick your ass.
Kiss my itchy eye.
I'm going to kick your ass.
You roar like a pussy.
Where do you live at, man? I'm going to knock you out.
You ain't knocking out anyone.
Yes, I am.
You ain't not.
I am, too.
Come on.
Yep.
Bring it on.
Hey, where you live?
I told you where I live. I live in Reno. Why don't you come out to the Las Vegas, the Tahoe-style show?
Tom,
I'll challenge you on stage.
Tom, hold on a second. There's a girl who wants to kick your ass. Hey, honey, you want to kick his ass?
I'll kick Tom Gavin's ass.
Oh, now why do you want to kick his ass?
Why do you want to pick on Tom?
I just thought maybe, you know, Tom would have a better chance if he took on a girl.
No.
Is this Chris?
No. Uh-uh.
What's going on here?
Is this Chris?
No, it's Mary, the medium-sized lesbian from Portland.
Oh, hey.
Oh, my God, it's Miriam. Good-looking.
Hey, Tom.
Oh, they're friends.
That's nice.
Oh, that's wonderful.
They know each other. Go ahead. You two, get reacquainted.
What's going on, Miriam?
Hey, I miss you, Tom. When are you coming back out here?
When are you going to... fix me up a plane fare.
Hold on, I liked it better when he fought with the guy.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, go ahead. Say goodbye to the guy who was fine with you.
Hey, you dumb effing, you. Goodbye, you dumb ass.
Hey, Tom.
He didn't ask. He didn't ask that time. Tom, you cannot drop the F-bomb, Tom.
Okay.
All right, goodbye, Tom. Goodbye, Ollie.
Bye, Tom.
Ollie is Jesus. Goodbye. Oh, damn, what a train wreck. Robbie, where's the train wreck sound effect? You just heard it, ladies and gentlemen. That was a train wreck segment right there. No survivors.
Oh, my God.
No survivors.
Wow. Something else.
All right, clear them out. Time for a call 100 right now. Secret song worth $500 American dollars.
Way to go, Tom.
If you're the 100th caller right now, please call Lisa. She's standing by at 877-365-3636.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, The Don and Mike Show.
Exactly what happened. One day your woman left early. You had the whole house to yourself. So you said, hey, let me get a little jerk before work. So you in the house getting your jerk on. Nice good jerk too. You know that? Ain't nobody in the house jerk. That's a good jerk. It ain't like that. Somebody in the next room jerk. That's a bad jerk. That's like, eh, who there? The good jerk, that nobody ain't home jerk. But you get the Vaseline ready, and you just look at your dick and go scream if you want to. No one's gonna hear.
If you don't like them, tough KFT, Don Geronimo, and Mike O'Mara.
He's one of the few who made me laugh out loud every time I see him.
Yep. He's cutting edge. He knows where the edge is.
I told you when Chris Rock was on Larry King the other night, he was cracking my ass up.
You can't do it!
And this morning, watching him on the Regis show, he's so funny. Regis has no idea what to ask him, right?
Right.
I mean, Regis is like, you got a movie? And he talks about the movie, says, what about politics? And then Chris Rock goes off. He says, George Bush won the election because he went on the talk shows.
Right.
He said, I can't do Chris Rock like Mike. He said, George Bush won the election because he went on Oprah and because he went on the talk shows because everybody thought he was a retard. And Regis just sits there and folds his arms.
Stone silence.
And Chris Rock must have said five more times, America thought he was a retard. America thought George Bush was retarded.
Oh, God, and Regis is just sitting there.
Oh, sure. My God, it cracked my ass up. He is so funny. Hotline, hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is the Don and Mike Show Hotline.
Oh, it is?
Who is this?
I thought it was my son's number.
Sounds like perhaps it was a real wrong number.
Maybe it was.
Huh.
Maybe they're right.
The number of your last incoming call was 7035.
All right.
Someone will get that and we'll call him back. Find out if it really was.
Yes.
I don't like that reaction sometimes, that, oh, oh, it is.
Mm. Okay. Let's call back. That's a special number.
It must be a special number.
Oops, hold on. I just screwed it up. Ay, ay, ay. Ay, 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 eesh. 703.
This
okay.
Is a 5.
Oh. Sorry, well, that's right. That's a 5, not a 3?
That's a 5, I believe.
All right, let's gotcha. See.
I mean, the guy just called on the super secret bat phone.
Yeah.
Tell him his son's here.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. We're on the air right now. You just called us up?
I must have hit the wrong key. I was trying to get my son.
Okay, your son's here.
I don't think so.
No, he's here right now.
So we're just double-checking to see if this is a real wrong number.
See, we're very protective of the number you just... Are you familiar with the Don and Mike radio show?
No.
Oh.
Really? How can that be?
Well, are you in WMZQ?
Oh, you're one of those people.
Yeah, really? One of those people.
One of those people.
We had Daryl Waltrip on the show today. Do you know his work?
No.
Hi, Dad, I'm here. Ah.
Don't think so.
No, it's me. I'm here with all my George Jones records.
Listen.
Oh, you're George Jones? Yeah, hello.
Hey, listen, we're on...
The chance of my son having George Jones records is slim to none.
All right, well, listen, sir, we want to... We're on the station, the bad station, that talks about penis and vagina all the time. And the number that you just called is our super secret number. So... You should erase it from your memory immediately.
Well, I hit the wrong key, so I haven't a clue what the number is.
Very good. Then we have no problems.
But remember, if you ever want to hear penis vagina, just turn your radio down to the right. I'm sure you've heard of us, 106.7.
Well, I know 106.7, but I didn't know it was a radio station. I'm sorry.
Turn it on right now. You're on the radio right now. Turn it on. You'll hear yourself.
Yeah.
Who cares?
No, come on. Come on, please.
I don't have a radio.
I mean, what has WMZQ ever done for you? We're putting you on the radio.
Why don't we give them a prize?
Yeah.
We give away great prizes on our show. Would you like a prize?
Not really.
Come on.
Please. Not really.
I know. I'm a pain in the butt.
But no, you know you're not.
No.
Listen, we are trying to steal you away from the country music
station. We'd like you to, you know, be our friend, and then we'd like to give you a prize. Could we give you a prize?
Don't you have a radio in your car?
Yeah, but I'm not in my car right now.
Oh, where are you at, sir?
I'm sitting in my family room watching TV.
Are you watching TV? Are you sure you wouldn't want a prize?
Nah.
Go to a radio right now. Do you have a radio in your kitchen?
Not in the kitchen. I'd have to go into another room and...
Well, come on. Don't you want to hear yourself on the radio? We have a 16-second delay.
No, I don't really care.
You don't care?
Huh.
Nah. There's just no... There's just no way we're going to be friends, is there?
We could be friends. It's just that... what kind of music do you play?
We play none. No
we
music.
Play no music. I told you we're the penis vagina station.
We just do a hot talk all day long.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. No, I probably wouldn't listen.
How old is your son?
He's 29.
I bet he listens.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he might.
Yeah, ask him, when you talk to him, ask him about the Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, okay.
Yeah, I bet he listens.
And, you know, if you said, yes, I would love to have a prize, you never know. It might be a wonderful prize. It might be something crappy, but it might be wonderful.
Yeah.
If you take the... Are you a gambling man?
No, not really.
Well, why don't you just this once? Once in your life. May I ask how young you are, sir?
Pushing 60.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you just take a gamble and you know, who knows? Maybe you might win a fantastic prize.
Do you take the Viagra?
No, I don't need that.
You don't need the Viagra?
Attaboy.
No. You know what? Then you
I'll tell you what. There wouldn't be any problem. If I needed it, I would get it by the gross.
You know what?
Now I like the guy.
You'd probably like our show. I'm sure you'd like it more than that. Listen, all the country songs are the same, right?
Yeah.
My girlfriend left me.
Yeah, my dog died. My mom's in prison. Sorry.
Yeah, right.
It's okay. They have, you know, sometimes the dog's in prison and the girl dies. So, you know.
Hey, listen.
Right.
What has WMZQ ever done for you? They done dick for you.
Now, let us give you a prize.
Please. Come on, I'm serious.
Come on.
Okay, give me a prize.
Yeah. Way to come around.
See, I'm not busting your balls. How would you like a lobstergram delivery of two Maine lobsters?
My wife said I'm on the radio.
Did your wife just
came in from her car?
Wow.
Did your wife just turn it on?
Your wife was listening. Put your wife on.
Hold on a second.
Okay, very good.
His wife was listening.
Yeah. And he didn't even hear that you're giving him one of our very good prizes.
A real good prize.
She's on her way to a yoga class.
She's going to a yoga class. You are a renaissance man, aren't you?
Country music, what? And
yoga. Dom was giving you a very wonderful prize. Listen to this, sir.
So listen, hold on. Your wife must have been listening to our show then, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's probably listening now.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, good for her.
Does she listen on a regular basis?
I doubt it.
Really? Well, she was listening today.
No, she listens to the oldie station.
Well, no. She had to be listening now.
But when I said 106.1, I didn't even know it was a radio station. She was on her way out, so she probably tuned it in.
It's 106.7, sir.
Well, something like that. Yeah.
You know what? I bet your wife listens.
Yeah.
I bet your wife is a fan of the penis vagina.
Hey, yeah. She probably is.
Ask her.
What can I say?
Well, listen, let me give you a lobstergram. Delivery of two Maine lobsters. Courtesy of Lobstergram. I mean, I'm not kidding you. This is like worth $200.
Go to www.livelob.com for a complete description of Lobstergram deliveries available. I'm telling you, you don't even listen to our show. You're just a wrong number, and I've already done more for you than your goddamn country music station has ever done for you.
There you go. You got two lobsters out of the deal.
How about that?
That's not bad, is it?
No, actually.
Very good.
I have to make more wrong numbers, that's for sure.
Good for you, sir. Uh-huh. All right. Well, tell your wife we said hello. And tell your son we said hello.
I shall do it.
And, you know, listen to the show. I bet you'd like a laugh every once in a while.
Yeah, give us a day. You'll be hooked for life.
Oh, okay.
What are you watching on TV?
Let's see, my wife had something on. I think it's the cooking channel.
Whatever it is, this is better.
Do you run any aspect of your own life, sir?
try not to. You know, like, it's so confusing. But, no, she had it on, and I was going to turn it over because we have the HBO Cinemax, and there's usually a good movie on.
Would I be safe in assuming that on your best day, you would never think of calling a radio station?
Yeah, that's a pretty safe assumption.
Right. I get that impression.
All right, well, listen, if you'll hold on, we're going to give you this prize worth $200.
And we hope you give us a day or two.
And whatever you do, never call that number again. That's like the secret number, okay?
Okay.
All right, hold on.
I have to program Pat's number in so I don't do that.
There you go. Yeah, make it one button. It'll be easier for
you. Beautiful. As a matter of fact, if you hold on a second, give Robbie your son's phone number, and we'll call your son on the air and give him a message. What did you want to say to him?
I just wanted to tell him to come over and get a box that his grandmother sent.
Oh, he's got a package?
Okay, maybe
he has a package.
Hold on,
he's online, and it's been busy the whole time.
All right, hold on just a second, please. Robbie, get the number of his kid, and while you're doing that, let's see if we can get a call 100. Here we go. Hello, Don and Mike show. Please, you know, I'm telling the guy who doesn't listen to turn his radio up. Please, you are listening. Turn it down.
My radio is down. It's the police radio.
Are you a law enforcement officer?
I'm a code enforcement officer.
You're a what?
I'm a parking ticket guy.
Parking ticket guy. Oh, listen, you know what? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You lose.
Right.
You lose.
There you go.
Hang on for me.
Please. Yeah, not fair.
Parking ticket guy. Everybody hates parking ticket guy.
Everybody does.
No mercy.
Right, exactly.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I am caller 100.
Yes, you are. Hi, and what's your name?
My name is George.
George, where are you from?
Austin Hill.
George, call 100. You've won the CD soundtrack and VHS copy of Dr. T and the Women, Richard Gere and Helen Hunt. Get your copy in time for Valentine's Day. I know that's wrong. I'm just reading it because I haven't bothered to change it.
Next year.
Here you go with the $500 online. Secret song number 6. Identify it with title and artist. A number one song from the 70s. You do it, you win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
NSYNC.
And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
There it is. I think I gave you a son's phone number. All right, we'll try him in a second. The money that we're giving away. The $500 courtesy our friends upstairs at Main Street Heisel.
It might sound crazy, but it ain't no lie, baby. Bye, bye, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? You got to see the dancing.
Yeah.
The dancing makes it more than the singing.
Thank you. Thank you. I like to do those youngsters choreography.
For $500, you have a title and artist?
Yes. Rolling Stones, Brown Sugar.
Oh,
too bad.
No, thank you. Thank you, though. And don't forget that every guest
is a clue for you.
Thank you. You're getting closer. All right, let's try this guy's son.
Very good. You know, he didn't listen to the show. He demonstrated no real enthusiasm towards the show, and I have no idea, but I like the old-timer.
Yeah. You know the number, his kid's number? It is one.
Oh, just like the old man said.
Yeah, busy.
It is busy.
Yeah.
And it is one digit off the hotline.
There you go.
Wow.
One digit off. So the old man was on the level.
Old man.
Old man. Give us the son's number, old man. And we will give you 2 lobsters. Freshly cooked for you, old man. Old man. We haven't successfully gotten through, old man.
All right, well,
No, that's a shame.
We'll try the kid at some point later.
Very good.
All right, well, it was nice talking to him. Who knows, maybe we got a listener today.
I hope so.
Not that we need any more, but, you know, hey, what the hell, you always need more.
You do indeed. That's the right attitude.
You always need more. Now we got, oh, crap, we got to do a break. Tons of more stuff. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Is TV's Leah Remini. Jack Diamond is a horse's ass.
Ladies are always encouraged to call the Don and Mike Show at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. Call us and get intimate.
Hi, this is pro wrestler Mankind.
Jack Diamond
is a
horse's ass.
Thank you.
Hey, what's fat and black with the skin pulled back? Why, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I love that joke. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, I'm calling talking Don.
I'm here, but stop the fake accent.
All right, I'll be honest. Let me tell you.
No, you're not stopping the fake accent.
Okay, I'll be honest. Here we go. Don, I have a little problem with you winning the lottery deal at your church.
Oh, really? Why?
Because I don't think you're a very honest Christian, and you don't. The stuff you talk about in your show is not.
Well, then you're not an honest Christian because you're listening to it.
You know, my son listens to you.
Oh, please. Then what? And your son controls.
Okay.
Now, what you have just said, I have had to delete out.
So fat.
What you've just said, I've had to delete out. There we go.
The king of the Christians called.
One of the good Christian man called.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Good Christian boy.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, I was wondering if I can come down to the studio and y'all blow a couple farts in my face, and I guarantee you, I can tell y'all what y'all ate.
You want to come down in the studio and we fart in your face and you can tell us what we've eaten?
Mm-hmm.
How good are you at this?
I'm real good.
Like, you, what's your success rate, your prediction rate?
50%.
50%? Do you practice this with your friends?
Yeah.
Really?
What is the easiest to identify? What is the easiest gaseous food product to identify?
Like Taco Bell, like meats and all that. Taco Bell, I could tell you, I could tell you where you got it from and what did you eat.
All right, hold on a second. I'll have Lisa book you.
Okay.
You can come down one day, and we can do a little eating experiment. We can all eat different stuff, and then...
Everybody should really be ready to see if they can produce. You know, it shouldn't be tough for this group.
Fart in this guy's face.
Probably broil. Probably, you know, cause the guy brain damage. Hold on. Go into, like, a seizure, have a brain seizure because it's too much sensory overload.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I want to make sure you guys heard the guy that called the caller 100 you guys flushed earlier. I don't know if you picked it up, but when you first asked what he did, he said he was a code enforcement officer, which is some fancy-ass title, and then admitted the fact he was just a lowly ticket giver.
Yeah, you know, if you're a ticket giver, you don't want to let anybody know it.
That's why we hung up on him. Hold on, the hotline is ringing. Hello, hotline.
Hi, is my dad there?
Okay, you want to play games?
Oh, you got him?
All right. Bring it in. You want to play games with our hotline?
Well, yes. This is the hour. This is the witching hour. Yes,
bring it on.
This is where they all get frustrated.
Bring it on, man.
Every day at this hour.
Guys with no
lives. This is when the guys with no lives just take the forefront.
Bring me that number, Charlie. We can make it easy or we can make it hard.
Absolutely.
You know, the old man, that was an honest mistake.
Yeah, right.
Up, is this the number?
I believe so.
Gotcha. And how the guy got the number, I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah. He's got such big balls to call the hotline.
Mm-hmm.
He figures out what the secret number is.
Surely he'll be man enough to pick up.
No, I can tell right away we're going to get an answering machine.
It's shifted, man.
Nope,
welcome to Verizon Wireless. The cellular customer you have called is not available at this time.
Okay, well, I tell you what. George, if that's your name, or maybe that's not your name, but it's just... Oh, that was a winner? Okay. Well, I tell you, area code 301, first three numbers of your phone number, 651. I'll give you exactly 60 seconds to call us back on the hotline.
And apologize.
Or we're giving out your phone number. It's that simple. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
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 Hi there. Hi there. You're on the air.
Is this Don and Mike?
Yes. Oh, Robbie, start the clock. Never mind. I'll start the clock myself. 60
what?
Seconds. Go. Never mind. Hi, what can we do for you?
Well, you know, you're always saying that you want chicks to call and all of this. Why? Mm-hmm. It's such a guy show. I mean, I enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. You guys are hysterical. But
did we just play that tape?
Yes, you did.
No. Honey, that's like a joke tape. I mean, really, it doesn't matter if girls call or not.
Well, you know, honestly, you guys are just absolutely hysterically funny, and I appreciate all the good stuff you guys put on the air from Washington back to Baltimore every day.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
Judy Tenuta.
Judy Tenuta,
well. Oh,
because I'm such a flower.
Judy Tenuta, okay.
Wow.
Bye, honey.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Judy Tenuta.
Oh, boy, you.
It was a mass reaction. We all had the exact same reaction to the exact same to Judy Tenuta.
Wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'm trying to reach my son. I never listened to the show, and I think I got the wrong number. Can I have some lobster?
At least that guy was caught on the request line.
Absolutely.
Right. Hello.
A little fun with it.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, I was going to tell him... the reason he got the number is because he said a half an hour ago it's one digit off of the hotline number. So if he gives his number away on the air, then everybody's going to have the hotline number.
No, the other guy's number was one digit away.
And I didn't give any numbers out on the radio.
No. No, we were talking about to the last guy, you see. That was another gentleman that called on a cell phone.
You're confused.
You're confusing him and the elderly gentleman that we were speaking with.
Oh, okay.
And listen, also, I'm hip to the fact that people can tape the... So when I dial a number,
right.
I pot it down like after the first three numbers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't give out the whole boop, boop, boop.
Right.
So that you don't get the number. Is this him calling back? Hello?
Sorry.
Yeah, a little more than that, please.
He's gone.
Well, he did say sorry, so technically...
Nope, I'm sorry. Listen, you got to stay on the line. You got to tell us how you got the number, and you got to say, I apologize, Don and Mike, and Don and Mike listeners.
So call us right back right now.
301-651-0.
Call us right back.
You got three more numbers to go, buddy. There's no skin off my nose giving out your phone number, being as you got ours.
Yep, got to stay on the line. We want a little more of an apology than that.
Right. I also want to know how you got the number.
How much time does he have to call back?
Oh, it should be immediate.
Should be calling back immediately.
I mean, now we do have like anywhere between a 16 and a 32-second delay, though.
That's right.
Oh, you know, depending on how much they're trusting us day to day here.
Mm-hmm.
Call back. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, great show, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, I was wondering, I have two questions to ask you. One... Yes. Is who won the contest last night? My second question has to do with that, too.
Well, Laura won. You can go to... Hold on.
Uh-oh.
No, it's not that line.
106.7.
Laura won. You can see her picture at 106.7WJFK.com.
All right. Thank you, sir. And number two is do you know that 1350, you know what station I'm talking about?
No.
Pardon me?
ESPN station, 1350 AM.
I don't know. What town are you calling us from?
From York.
York, Pennsylvania? No, I don't know anything about that.
They cut you guys off when you had two contestants left. I'm a dedicated listener. I listen every night. And you guys were down the last two girls last night, and they cut you guys off to put on girls basketball.
Mm. You know, every day it gets more insulting doing this show.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that is rude. I've called them three times today and haven't got anything.
All right.
All right. Thank you. We're sorry about that. Sorry. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Sometimes it's just all right, sir.
I feel bad for the guy. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Hey, did the guy ever call back? I mean, I see the hotline is lit. If it's the guy, put him through.
Well, Charlie might be popping in here.
Hello.
Just get off the line.
Yeah, you got to tear that guy up.
Oh, we will. Don't worry.
Here comes Charles Broyhill.
Here comes Chuck Broyhill. Hi, Charlie.
No, he hasn't called yet. I was just trying to dial another number from that line.
Oh, all right.
I haven't heard from him.
Well, then.
Let's see what happens.
You'll be man enough to pick up your phone this time? You know, we guard the secrecy of the hotline number.
Yes, of course we do. Very importante.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless.
All right. 301-651-02. So we're down to two numbers now.
Yes, very good.
We're down to two numbers.
Calling.
Nope, that's
the other one.
That's the other one.
What the hell is going on? Why are both hotlines ringing like and the light going off here every time? What's going on?
Because there's some douchebag who's got the line 7 number.
Unbelievable.
Hello, Don and Mike show. We got to change all the hotlines again.
Oh my God.
Hello. Just like we got to change the code to get in around here.
Right.
And incidentally, nice job communicating that to everybody.
Thanks for sharing it. Well, it's management is number one.
The other day, Buzz and I were going to the John,
right.
And I came out of the John. I was in there after Buzz, and Buzz was just standing in the outer office, and he said, do you know the code? And I said, oh, hold on, the guy's calling back.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, you gave me the number, and I apologize.
How did I? No, not good enough.
Wow.
I didn't give him the number.
You gave me the number, and I apologize. Why won't he stay on the line?
This is your last chance. I ask you not. Call up and tell us exactly how you got the number and give us a serious apology, or I've given out the last two digits. So anyway, Buzz and I are coming back from the John, right. And we get out by the security doors out there, and Buzz is just standing there. and Buzz is punching the old code in,
right.
And he says, do you know how to get in? And I said, yeah, they changed the code today. And Buzz said, what is the code? So I told him.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone said, well, you should have gotten an email about that.
Right.
An email?
Did you get an email about about a new security code?
I wouldn't have known about it either, except there was a memo on Jim McClure's floor of his office. And I said, when does that go in effect? He said, yesterday. I mean, big letters. I mean, it's just like no one mentioned to anybody.
So, like, everybody who works here after hours, mm-hmm. people are being locked out of the studio and stuff.
Left and right.
Because nobody knows the new security code.
Our scary security system. We all feel safer now.
Hello. Oops. Don and Mike show.
Yep.
All right, well, this is the last chance for you. I'm going to give you a countdown now. 10 seconds. 10. 9er. 8er. She was delicious. 7er. Oh, here he is. Hello?
You better stay on the line right now or it's the last chance.
I don't care if you give it out, but I do apologize.
How'd you get it? All right, well, said he doesn't care if we give it out.
That's right. Go ahead and give it out.
301-651-0209.
Call anytime.
But you know what? We better change the hotline number today. Because he'll probably give it out to everybody who calls him.
Absolutely.
So call the guy. 301.
I just thought of that. That's right.
Yeah.
What idiots we are.
301.
What idiots we are. Now the world. Everybody. You know what I mean?
They could change the number, though, but
sure.
Now and tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just funny. It's just like, it's dumb, though, you know? We're just giving the number out now. I mean, for the next half hour, so everybody would, I mean, that's what he would do. I mean, we've also, even if he wasn't thinking in those
terms, now we'll just put the number on hold, though.
Right, exactly.
We'll just put the line on hold.
Right.
But call the guy. 301-651-0209. Vengeance be thy name.
Thank you. Thank you for giving us permission to give your name, your number out.
Hello, nice. Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I think I know how that guy got the phone number.
Really? How?
Well, didn't Don dial up that the old man's son, who had a number similar to it, and you could hear him dialing the numbers. And you can.
How many numbers did you block out?
Okay, let me explain. If I was going to call, let's say 703-585, and then 6626, which is a random number, I would go like this.
You black it out like that.
You understand what I'm saying?
And you did that with that other number.
I do that all the time.
I thought you did.
Mm-hmm. I do it when I call my wife. I do it when I call my house. I do it when I call anybody.
Right.
Don't you think I know that people know to tape stuff? Do you know that there was a Billy Joel song that was out, I don't know how many years ago, where at the beginning of the song it had a touchtone phone number,
mm-hmm.
and so many people called it that the record company ended up hiring someone to answer the phone just to say, please don't call this number.
It's hysterical.
Because people were recording it off a Billy Joel record and playing it into their telephones.
Mm-hmm.
So, no one could get the number that way. Hello?
The guy hung up.
I'm explaining to him how the system
this
works.
This is not an hour of logic.
Hello.
This is an hour of pure ball busting.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Listen, I've been listening to you for years, and I just wanted to say that listening to Tom Gavin go off on that guy, I literally just wet myself.
That was a joy, wasn't it?
That's a highlight. That was a highlight moment on the show.
It really was.
Anything that funny. That was, God bless you guys. I love you.
That was an evergreen moment, a watershed moment.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Spirit Guy from New York, you can't hear this station when you get 10 miles away from it. We get cut off all the time.
Well, at least you have a good phone.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don, that guy's number is still busy.
Well, of course it is. There's 6 million people calling him right now, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Hold on, he's calling back on the hotline. Hello?
No, it probably wasn't him.
Nope.
Let's find out.
The number of your last incoming call was 9255.
See, he's giving it out to people as predicted.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I urge everybody to continue to call this guy over the next 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, why not?
And remember, every time you call him and he answers the phone, he pays.
Right.
You got it, Robbie?
I think so.
Let's see what happens now.
You can get my number too.
He come down with something.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Game is afoot.
Here we go.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, douchebag. What are you calling the hotline for?
Oh, I was just checking to see if he gave out the right number. He's doing exactly what you said.
Well, you know, and also now we have your number.
Oh, I do understand that.
Yeah, so don't do that anymore.
I won't.
Area code 925. Five.
Don't hand out my number.
Well, you called us. You called us.
To see whether or not he gave out the right number, and obviously he did.
You're on the air. 925-570. If you call back, I'm giving back the last four numbers.
I'm sorry.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
If you were just checking the line, you should have been polite enough to say something.
Well, you're right.
And listen, frankly, if you want to check the line out, you know, check it out on a show when we're not on the air here. You know, check it out on one of the other shows. Okay?
That's a great idea.
Pandemonium. Oh, God.
Where is area code 925? Where the F are you calling from?
California.
All right.
All right, have a happy day.
Watch it.
Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Watch it.
What's the temperature out there right now?
It's a balmy 60 degrees.
Okay. Oh, F you. It's like 20 degrees here and it's raining.
Gray.
It rains every day here.
All the winters are here. Gray.
Yeah. All right, well then, all right, mission accomplished. We'll change the hotline.
Very good.
And, you know, keep calling this guy. I mean, don't let up on him, okay? Right. You rat.
You rat bastard.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show. To obtain maximum enjoyment from your please observe the following precautions. When a is not being played, store it out of direct sunlight or high temperatures. Before inserting a into the be sure that both rotate freely in both directions. The will automatically eject at the end of the if the ejects prematurely, remove it and check for free rotation of both. If it fails to do so, a gentle outward pull on the will cause the to eject. The head should be cleaned once a month with a cotton swab, slightly moistened with 70% isopropyl alcohol. Failure to follow these precautions will decrease your enjoyment and may result in damage to your. Thank you for allowing us to spend this brief time with you. Happy. So good, it'll give douche chill to ye. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, listen, you know we're going to be in Reno a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wow. Doing a live show from radio station KPLY. We will be playing Strip Trivia live in the studio. We'll start the soliciting for that next week.
Very exciting.
Live Las Vegas style show at Harrah's on the main stage in Lake Tahoe.
Right.
That's next Friday night. And if you live in the Washington, D.C. area, hey, we have our big thank you for the number one ratings party. It's a little late coming, but it's going to be on Tuesday, March 6th. In Fredneck, Maryland.
In beautiful Frederick, Maryland.
At a site to be announced, but we're going to make it a special one, a buying drinks for the first 106 people there.
Fantastic.
We want to say thank you, put on a great show for you that night, as we will in Tahoe. Tomorrow on the show, everybody gets to yell at Charlie Stossel because he was wrong about the movie Hannibal.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to debate him about the movie Hannibal.
And I think we're going to have an XFL person tomorrow and yell at them about the XFL.
We're going to get He Hate Me?
Yeah, I don't know if we're having He Hate Me, or it might be the smelly Bob Golic.
Ah, Bob Golic. Like who we saw down at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, who was on the airplane in front of me on the way back from the Super Bowl, who's like a color commentator.
Bob Golic.
And also tomorrow, brand new low-budget Jeff R.D.
Yeah, right.
Now, something we've been sitting on for the last day is Mike's tape of going to the bank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went to the bank after Don and I played poker the other day, and Don ran out of money, so he wrote me a couple of checks. And in the memo, he put something rather ribald.
In one memo where it says what the check is for, I think I wrote, bloody ass sex?
Bloody ass sex and hand job to completion.
Yes.
I remember in my glee that I had won, I think I volunteered. I said, I'll take them to the drive-thru and get them to read them. Well, that was euphoria that faded away very quickly when I realized just what I had to do. And, you know, the first day I said I was going to do it, I didn't get around to doing it. And I think it was more like I didn't want to do it when I thought about
it. Right.
And then the second day, I was thinking about it all morning because I was just picturing myself in that drive-thru lane, and it did not go well. It didn't go well at all. And in fact, I didn't get the checks cashed.
Wow. All right, it was real one?
One.
Real uno? All right, here we go. Here's Mike at the bank.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are. It is a beautiful gray morning. I'm chewing gum, sir. And I have good news for you, Don.
What, Mike?
Your bank does not exist out here anymore, so I have to go to my own personal bank.
Yes, right, let me stop it for a second.
Right.
Crestar, I mean, they change all the time. Crestar became SunTrust.
Right. So I went up the main drag looking for the Crestar, which was there the last time I cashed a check from you. And
and my checks still say Crestar on them.
I didn't think the bank existed, so that's why I said that.
Okay.
Your bank didn't exist.
Okay, but my bank does exist. Banks change hands all the time, though.
You know how suspicious I am.
I know you are. Rob?
Yes?
When's the last time I bounced a check on you?
You know, I don't know that you ever have. I don't get a lot of checks from you, but I don't know.
I'm happy for you, Rob. Rob, I'm real happy for you.
Oh, come on.
I'm happy for you.
Come on.
That's great.
Seriously, when's the last time I bounced a check on you?
You only bounced a check on me one time.
One time.
One time. Yes.
One time.
That's right.
One time. 15 years, one time. And you never let me forget.
It wasn't 15 years ago. It was, I'm sure, sooner than that.
But it was one time in 15 years.
Right. Did it bounce, or did you just present it at his bank and they said there's not enough funds to cash
it? Oh, I didn't present it at his bank.
Oh, so you deposited, assumed it would be there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a sticky wicket.
That's rough. Yeah, but it was a long time ago.
That's right.
Yes. It was a long time ago.
But he never forgets.
Well, I didn't forget, and the last time you gave me a check, I took it. That's just what I started doing. I started taking them to your bank. So the last time, and I don't think there was any problem, because they cashed the check, and they didn't say anything to me.
All right, so you were confused because they changed the name of the bank. So drive around for an hour looking for a Crestar?
I just drove the strip looking for this one area, and when I didn't see it, I said, well, I'll go to my bank, where, you know, Laura does all the banking over there. I rarely go by there, but Laura said to me in the morning, she said, if you go to our bank, everybody knows you shouldn't have any problem. Well, I did have a problem.
Okay, here we go.
I'm going there right now.
Those pesky rules about telling people
that on the air. We're not going to endorse the checks, nor am I going to have ID. I'm going to make this transaction as painfully long as possible. Here we go. What's my plan?
Hello.
Hi, how are you? I'm recording this for the Don and Mike show. Is that okay with you? It's not okay? You don't want me to record it? Well, I'm going to have to go to another bank then. Really? You don't want me to record it? Okay. Thank you. What's your name? Well, I guess I can't say that now. Okay, goodbye. Well, that was nice.
So now you gotta...
There's my bank.
Now you gotta go to another bank.
Right. They're not letting me record this.
I'm not real happy at this.
God damn it.
You said that like Clinton.
God damn it. Damn it.
God wow. Damn it.
Didn't that work out well? We'll check back in later. So now I don't know what to do. Because I can't go to a strange bank. You know, one of you, they're not going to cash that check. Because I don't have an account there, and you don't have an account there.
And you're driving
so
around.
No way. I've got a personal check.
And you didn't realize that Crestar had become SunTrust.
Thinking quickly, I got on my cell phone, and I dialed information asked for Crestar.
Right.
And when I did that, they put me through to SunTrust. And I thought they gave me, because Crestar might sound like SunTrust, and I don't trust information, so I called it again. And once I got through, I said, is this Crestar? And they said, yes. And that's when I knew exactly where SunTrust was, so I did a beeline down there.
So now you're actually going to
your bank.
A branch of my bank.
Absolutely. Brutal. And you know what? What I was also doing was, in the morning, because I wanted to be at one of the islands that's separated from the drive-thru, where they have the little machine that shoots it out.
Right.
I wanted to be removed. And that lady that didn't want to go on the air, well, you know, I'm 2 inches away from her. She sees the microphone in my hand, and then she's looking in back her. She gives me a silly grin and then didn't want
to
be recorded.
And the point of all of this is to get Mike... You know,
get somebody to read the checks where Don has written the filth
right
on the checks.
Bloody ass
right.
Sex.
Bloody ass sex and hand job to completion.
Okay, here we go. And incidentally, the bloody ass sex check was for $20.
And the $20, and I believe the hand job to completion was $4.
$4.
That's correct.
Your normal rate.
So this is incidentally, and I've got all my gym stuff on because I was going to zip in, get this done off to the gym. This process that was going to take 10 minutes is now moving into the half hour mark.
Okay, gotcha. So now you're going to my bank. You're going to SunTrust.
Yeah, because I had to, you know, I had to do the job. Okay, here we go. We're going to try it differently now. We're at a different bank. I'm just going to send the checks over without an endorsement. We're going to see what happens. We're going up to the machine now.
Now, do you have the tube at this one?
Yeah. Little plastic case. I'm reading how to, like, they all have different doohickeys to get them in there, and I've never been to this bank. I don't see anyone here. Now I'm going to shove it up their box. Oh.
There you go. Shove it in. Ain't a
warning.
Here we go.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Because the box is going through.
Oh, the box was going through. Hi, how are you? I'm recording this for the Don and Mike show. Is that okay with you? Come on, say yes. Please say yes. The last lady said no. Please say yes. Oh, you've got to help me out here. This is my last chance. I don't have any other banks to go to. Just say yes, please. It's not anything bad. Please, oh, please. God, I'm going to lose my job if you don't say yes, please.
You're not going to lose your job if I don't say yes.
Hey, do you listen to the Don and Mike show?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Well, it's just a simple transaction, and my partner, when he gave me those checks, asked me to do it on tape for the show, okay? No names, no lies. No name of the bank or anything like that.
Too late on that.
Yeah.
Well, it's my bank. I don't care.
Right.
SunTrust. Maybe they'll help me out.
No.
No?
What did you want me to do with these?
I need to cash them.
Cash them?
Yeah, I need to cash them. This is the same. It's a new name, but it's the same bank, right? Is it the same bank? Why are you laughing? If you're going to laugh, laugh on microphone. This is the right bank, correct?
Yes.
Okay, see, I haven't mentioned the name of the bank.
I like your little memos you put down here.
What memo?
Hand job completion.
Back it up.
Hey, dirt.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, dirt.
Hand job completion.
Yeah, there we go. I haven't mentioned the name of the bank.
I like your little memos you put down here.
What memo?
And John completion.
Here, one more time.
Peter.
Now, at this point, does she not understand that the checks are not from you? Yeah, I mean, because she said the note you put down here.
Yeah. Right. Well, I didn't, at that point, I didn't care. Right. At that point, all I was trying to do is get her to say it. What memos?
And John completion.
I was very happy at this moment. But remember, I still haven't gotten permission yet. That comes later. I do.
For you?
Yeah, I need to. I need.
I can't cash them for you at the drive-thru.
You can't cash them at the drive-thru?
Oh no.
Why? Even with an ID?
Nope.
But it's not my account. It's the account that's on the check.
I know, but this bank needs two forms of ID and a thumbprint.
And a thumbprint?
You're asking me.
No, I'm not.
Wow.
I've used this bank before.
They would
like
not.
Like the last time you were up.
They would not cash $24 worth of checks without a thumbprint from you?
You
have to ink your thumb and press it on like a little thing, and then there's a special kind of ink that wipes off, but they require a thumbprint and two forms of.
You are asking me.
A thumbprint.
Wow.
Christ.
Welcome to Manassas.
Okay, I didn't know that much.
Not just Manassas. Right. I've been to the Fairfax branch. They do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I had no idea.
Mm. Yeah, well, this is all new to me. I'm getting a little frustrated now.
Okay.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do?
What are you going
to
do?
I'm not doing this anymore. I'm taking the checks back to Don.
Okay, you do that.
After he did that, okay?
Hey, you have a nice day.
Okay, hey, can you do me a favor? Can I just play this on the radio, please?
Yes, you may.
You're wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. And you actually read one of the checks. That's very nice. Is there a chance, because I'm taking them back to him, that you could read the other check, please? You're not going to do that for me, are you?
No, not with the customer now.
Well, you're very, very sweet. Thank you. Have a nice day.
You know, and I would she would have read it, but right at that moment, minivan mom pulls up.
Yeah,
right.
And
you know, those things really.
She doesn't want to be saying bloody ass.
Bloody ass, sir.
So, not with the customer now.
Well, you're very, very sweet. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Can you tell me when this is going to be played?
This will be played this afternoon, only if you read the other check to me really quickly.
I can't do that.
Okay, that's fine. All right, I try.
And just the sound of it being sent back to you?
Yeah, and then I fumble with it a while. The tube.
I'm just stupid. Now it's come back. Well, there was my effort to cash your checks. Hey, thank you. Have a very happy day.
You too.
Well, that's it. I'm taking the checks back to you. I couldn't get them cashed. I'm not trying anymore. I'm late as it is. You've made me late already. I usually have wonderful service at this bank. All right. At least she was nice, and she finally gave me permission. Well, that's it. Hold on. Let me get these things out of here.
What'd you do with those checks?
All right, car. Well, that's it. I still have them. I'm going to put the thing back, and I'm going to say goodbye. Goodbye, ma'am.
Bye. Have a nice day.
You too. All right, I'm off.
There you go.
And you're getting your checks back. That's it. On a gray day in Northern Virginia, I'm not going to go in and give my thumbprint for bloody ass sex. Thank you very much. Good night, and God bless.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
There you go. Well done.
There it is. I want to thank that woman. Don't know her name, but she was very sweet. Very nice.
At least she did say hand job.
She did.
To completion.
I think I might have gotten her, if there hadn't been another car between me and her,
yep.
I would have gotten her to say the other thing.
Gotcha.
I guess, you know, and I would have thought, you know, just in my mind, that the one she read was the more revolved one, but no, probably not.
Bloody ass sex.
I'm not giving my thumbprint for that.
It's time for a news and comments now.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
verboten,
a man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's Buzz.
It's me.
He made it up.
And Buzz, what is your lead made-up story tonight?
Tonight's headline, Loose Lips About Sinking Ships.
Oh, more about this?
More about the ship.
Is it anything interesting?
Oh, I think so.
Okay, all right. Well, then I'll stay tuned. How about you, everybody?
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comment.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike
Don
Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional. Number one, Arbitron Lady. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crespa?
Battling J.D.
J.D.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's right. We hate J.D.
Yeah.
We love B.B., though.
Hi, Buzz. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
The civilian who pulled the lever that brought a U.S. submarine to the surface, causing it to collide with a Japanese boat, has come forward. John Hall was on the Today Show.
John Hall?
John Hall.
Oh. I pulled the lever.
John Hall was on the Today Show explaining that he was asked if he'd like to pull the lever. He says he pulled it with a Navy crew member at his side. We now know there were 16 civilians on the sub that day.
I'll tell you, his father wouldn't have done that.
Who?
Monty.
Nor would his brother.
Who?
Daryl.
Daryl Hall.
That's right.
His sister, that hot fox,
Jerry.
Some of the civilians.
Want to play the Hall game? Come on, you know you want to.
Are there any others?
I got a killer one, his brother.
Study.
That's it, I love it.
Some of the
civilians. And his comedian's nephew.
Who?
Rich.
Huh?
Rich Hall.
His other brother's detention. Of records.
All of records now.
Well, I'm just trying to do it a different tack.
I'm trying to turn it around a little bit.
Yeah.
Watch how I do that.
Fame.
Oh, God.
Some of the civilians were businessmen. Some contributed to a restoration fund for another Navy ship. And the daily.
For the long.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in it for the long.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was asshole. His brother.
No, Hall ass.
Oh, Hall ass.
Poor asshole.
His brother, you. I know it's H-A-U-L, not H-A-double-L.
Sure. Hall ass, too. Yeah. Same thing.
Right.
The Daily News reports that one of the civilians on board that sub is a wealthy Republican with connections to President Bush.
Kids in the.
The incident strained relations between the U.S. and its ally, Japan, a relationship already strained
ally?
By the behavior of other American military personnel.
Rob, yes, they are allies.
Hey, well, never forget.
We had a little something called the Arizona.
Never forget.
Hey, we're friends like that.
Supposed to be very close allies these days.
Yeah, right. Whatever.
Now, to make matters worse, the sub in last week's incident was 2 miles outside its training area at the time. Today, the Navy was expected to call off the search for the 9 Japanese still missing. That number including 4 high school students.
Yeah, listen, they're dead.
The search continues. Of course, we're doing this, and Japan is asking us to recover the ship as well. What we're doing now, we're doing for Japan. It's probably the least we can do.
Well,
the
sir.
Oh, for you.
Right.
And as we said before, although it's not unusual for civilians to be aboard a U.S. sub, conventional wisdom says they were a distraction. Even if the civilians were...
La, 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 la.
Hi, Charlie.
I'm a distraction.
Get to know.
We're going fast, straight up. Straight up, man.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Even if the civilians were not to blame for the accident, one of them was steering the sub, and another was at the controls that bring the sub to the surface. And one report today says the captain and the crew of the sub may be facing criminal charges.
Okay.
All right.
Enough, please.
Now the Democrats have a tax-cutting plan of their own. It's not as big as the one President Bush is pushing, but it is bigger than what the Democrats offered last year, so they've apparently been influenced by the president's proposal.
We're concerned about AIDS inside our White House.
Yes, yeah, Sheree.
Sheree Bob. Chris Rock called me a retard.
He did on Regis. Until he went on Oprah, most of America thought that George Bush was a retard.
Call me a retard. It's inappropriate. Inappropriate strategery. Democrats now want to divide the surplus into 3 parts: $900 million for a tax cut, $900 million for paying down the debt, and $900 million for prescription drugs, education, and other things.
That's a stretch, Rob.
I know. What are you doing?
Tax cut. Money is. This is not the most exciting story I've ever heard, but we don't need the audio help.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Many Republicans say it's another case of the Democrats trying to keep your money in Washington, but at least 2 Republican lawmakers have now turned their backs on the president's plan, saying it's too big too early. The tabloids are not through with Jesse Jackson just yet.
All right, now listen. Finally, you got my interest.
No, Jesse Jackson.
The Inquirer.
Why are you doing your Arnold Schwarzenegger?
The Inquirer hits the fans next week with the story of another extramarital romance.
I am Bill Cosby.
Yet another staff member from the Rainbow Coalition. But this time, instead of a confession from Jackson, we're hearing a strong denial from the woman and a promise that the paper will hear from her lawyers.
She thought I was on file. She is a liar. I am going to go blow a tile.
Thank you. The Inquirer quotes another coalition worker as saying it was a sexual relationship and that the Reverend Jackson showered her with gifts, cash, and a pay raise. Shower.
No.
That was a thought. That was not smart.
No, it was not even audible.
You are in big trouble. You only produced a little bubble.
Buzz, hold on.
All right.
We'll be back. The girl's name's not Kate, is it?
No, I don't believe it is.
They got married to me.
Kate Jackson. Jackson.
Kate yeah. Jackson.
A big petite Kate. She helps me when I think about masturbate.
We'll be right back. Number one, Arbitron Radio, The Don and Mike Show.